Hello?
Hello.
Oh my god, are we in trouble?
I don't think so.
Usually, you don't call unless there's a change in a script or something horrible is about to happen. Are we getting fired? Are we canceled?
Not sure I want to talk about that just yet.
Oh, son of a bitch. I just bought a new car.
I've got some bad news about your character arc for next season.
Doesn't it involve an elevator, does it? In a shaft? Or
it,
getting
it
shafted in the elevator?
Shaft, but no elevator as far as I know.
I don't like this at all. Not one bit, sir. How have you been?
I've been having one of those, what do you call them? Lives.
So that's, what does that say about the rest of us, then?
I'd rather have been having whatever you were having. But otherwise, fine. Yeah, doing all right.
Cool. What are you playing these days?
I'm console hopping. I went from owning a 360 and nothing else to owning current and next gen on both platforms.
Oh, really?
But dorking out with Warframe on the PS4. Little Diablo on the 360. I'm kind of waiting. I'm actually probably going to end up buying Titanfall on both Xboxes just because my friends list is still bifurcated.
Mm. Do you, does Titanfall play on both platforms?
It does. It's coming out, it comes out on the one on like the, I think March 11th, and comes out on the 360 2 weeks later.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm basically holding off to make sure that the 360 version is not hopelessly gimped, but if it's not, then I've got several friends who are talking about buying it there because they haven't bought into the next-gen thing yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. I'm still on the 360. Actually, I'm on a 360 that now my wife's like, well, how much are they? Because we really need to replace this one because it's doing the every time there's a DVD. I actually went and bought a Blu-ray, individual Blu-ray player because not that you could play Blu-ray on the 360 anyway, but we watch DVDs.
Right.
And we watch DVDs on. You have to turn the TV up so loud to get over the damn spinning thingy.
Yeah, I've got a friend with one of those, and he's thinking about waiting, now that the next-gen stuff's out, he's waiting to see the old-gen stuff drop in price again.
Mm-hmm.
So he can buy one just to replace the noisy DVD player on his.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking as well. I actually opened it up because, you know, hell, it's out of warranty already at this point. And tried to replace it, or tried to actually do various fixes that I found on the web. None of them worked. I think the deal is here is that the original DVD player actually had a problem where the magnet wasn't attached properly, or wasn't glued in properly. And that's what most people have that problem with. The folks that are, like, because I have a Slim, it's actually the top part of the DVD player. It's where basically the spindle, the screw or the spindle comes out of the top of the DVD player, and it rubs against the metal case.
Ooh.
And there's not really much you can do about that.
Right. That sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it plays, and the trick, of course, is just to install the game, and then it does it for a little bit, and then as it's, you know, calling home or whatever, verifying that you have the game, even though you played it 100 times. then it stops and it stops spinning again. So that's good. My kids play Minecraft, and every time it's weird because in Minecraft, you know, it's a downloaded game, but it will constantly, if there's a DVD in there, it'll constantly spin it no matter what. And so they, you know, they've learned to just open up the thing and take it out because then it won't make any noise. But yeah, I've been playing Battlefield 4 lately, actually a lot.
I haven't actually checked that one out yet. I've got a friend who's got it on the PS4.
Right.
But I haven't, I heard so many horror stories about bugs and all this other stuff that I was kind of waiting to see if it settled out. And it sounds like it may be okay now.
It still is fairly buggy. I can't play 3 hours without getting a server crash. So, and then you have to, and the interesting thing about the way the crash works, it's actually usually, well, it's not really a server crash. Sometimes it's a server crash, but it's you'll crash. And it'll lock up the entire system. So you have to get up off your ass and walk over there and reboot the damn thing the hard way. Oops. Hold on.
That better?
Yeah, actually, it wasn't your fault. It was my fault. I switched over to your call, not adding you to the call. So, hey, Doc's here.
Oh, wow.
How are things, Rob?
Good. How are you?
I'm here.
Wow. Now it's a party.
Yeah, well, something like that.
How's your weather down there?
Oh, normal for the moment, but they're talking about another round of snowpocalypse next week.
Yeah, we're getting snow tomorrow and Friday. So, it sucks.
I have no idea what's going on. It's absolutely insane.
It was weird. When I was in New Orleans, the first day it was 35. Second day was 40. But at night it got into the 20s. And then Sunday, the last day we were there, it was like 65. We got on a plane and got home and it was 9. It's like,
wow.
I can't handle weather anymore. You know, but my friends in England, they all got rain. It's just literally been nonstop rain for like 3 months. So it's kind of weird. Like, I think there's parts of Scotland that have had more rain in, you know, the month of January than they got all last year.
Rob.
Yes?
Okay, just testing.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's an okay day.
Rox, who's calling in on Widge's line. What have you done with Widge? Where have you buried him?
He's on the other side of the NPR office.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
We can when you said that, but only because you're in the room. So I'm a little concerned. So we JJ's here.
Hello.
So I'm a little concerned. We introduce the character of JJ, and then Doc shows up, which has me concerned that somebody's being written off the series.
Wait a minute, well, Doc? Well, Doc's here?
Once the ensemble gets too big, it's unwieldy.
Oh, wow.
Why didn't you stop this years ago, then?
This is the special edition.
I can just go and call back in 2 weeks if there's too many people.
He's kidding, Rob.
I know, I was kidding, too.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear Widge? No.
Who?
You know, that guy. That guy.
Oh
that guy?
Ken?
No, not the new guy. The old new guy.
Oh, I'm definitely the old guy.
The old guy. Who's younger than I, but still old.
You're...
Have they taken you to the weird Georgia Stonehenge thing yet?
No.
Okay.
There is one?
Remember we talked about that? It's that weird thing that's written in like 10 different languages on it? With the weird Masonic guy built?
Hello.
I'll send you the link to it.
I think we're hearing you a little bit, Widge. Widge talk.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, you're echoing, though. As though you have an effect
thank
on.
You.
The mind trap.
Hey, you're stealing his line. Don't do that. He's only got one line.
Sorry, it was in my script this week. It's not working either.
Is it? I thought Dindrain.
We're hearing you, Widge.
It
just sounds like you're calling from the Vatican.
Did
you leave Widge in Pakistan?
No.
Okay.
I left him with his passport.
Scott's here.
Hi.
Hey, Scott.
Hello. Testing.
Yes, you do say ominous, dominus.
I think I heard it.
You heard what?
I think I heard something.
Well, can they hear me?
Yeah, we can. Yes.
Yes, they can hear. Oh, there was a pop. Oh. Holy crap.
Wait a minute.
And there's a button.
No, can they hear me?
Yes.
Independent of you?
Yes.
Okay. I won't say anything. Say something.
Okay, this is me talking into a separate mic from Rox.
Can you
hear me like I'm on a separate mic, or does it sound like I'm across the room from Rox?
You sound fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yay!
Now,
I can't hear anything that's happening, but you can hear me. That's fantastic.
You don't got a splitter?
Great.
Progress.
Do you have a no splitter? Oh,
working on it.
You know, funds are being cut at NPR.
Yeah. We got to be careful. Doc's here to supervise how the whole show runs.
Oh, damn. You know, he's got that stopwatch. I'm making my, no, I was going to make my Sally Field union sign. Norma Ray, yes. We're going to fight that you, Doc. He's got a stopwatch.
You've got it all wrong.
But see, here's the thing. If you gave that speech, then Darren would give it back to us.
Time management. That's right. We're time and motion managing this show.
Yeah.
Right.
It's in the notes.
Thanks, sorry.
That's from my laundry.
Yeah, Doc. Tell Din thanks for showing up. We appreciate it. Guess we're not academic enough.
Well,
that's
you can have both of us in 1 week. That's not going to work at all.
Okay. They don't actually like each other. That's okay.
We're saving that for next season.
Oh, sorry.
Wow, you know what? This setup at this techno cave is awesome. I just have like a gamer mic, and I've got like this "We Are the World" mic thing going on. The spit guard and everything.
Nice.
Like a motherfucking professional.
That's right. Sure. I just need better lines.
Oh, I see.
You don't get enough Coke? What's going on?
It's always the writer's fault.
Well, talk to your wife. Last time she gave me stuff and it was in Moravian.
Don't give her any ideas.
Moravian.
That's okay. Last time I talked to her, I sent her hip hop lyrics to send back in Latin, thinking she wouldn't do it. And she actually did. Settled a bet for me.
Oh.
Yeah, you will never win a bet banking on her not to translate some shit into Latin.
Good, because the next thing she's going to translate for me is Gangster's Paradise by Coolio into Latin.
Oh, I am all in for that experience.
Okay, I'll email her tonight.
Excellent.
So I work with this girl who does Latin, who's taken it forever, and I'm like, can you translate this? If I give you something, can you translate it? She's like, sure. Like, can you translate "there's no party like a West Coast party" because the West Coast party don't stop? She's like, I can't do that. That can't be done in Latin. I said, I know somebody who does. There you go. I said, yeah, $5.
Foolish girl.
So.
Foolish girl.
Yeah. Well, you know, she's all right. It's just, you know.
Yes, but she doesn't know that something like that can't be translated to Latin, so she's obviously not as well versed as she thinks she is.
She's an archivist in a library, and she's the one that got me introduced to Night Vale, so we can't pick on her too much. So.
Oh, so you got tickets for Night Vale?
For here, yeah.
For there.
Yeah.
So what is their tour like? What's the Night Vale tour
like? I purposely haven't known. I'm doing a meet and greet here, so I'm going to get to meet them. It's apparently visual, video and audio. I know that much. So when is it there? What's the date in Atlanta?
Oh, I don't know.
Are you seeing Atlanta?
I think it shows up after I leave. I leave on Monday.
Okay, because it's here March 17th. So I'm thinking it's in Atlanta before it's here.
You know what I have tickets to?
What?
Marvel Universe Live, the very first showing of it.
Nice.
Is that the thing in the bus?
No, it's done by the folks that do the big stadium shows. But it's Marvel themed.
The touring one, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's touring. Well, it starts in Tampa, actually. It starts on July 10th here in Tampa.
Nice.
And then heads out to the rest of the world after that. So I get to see all the stuff fail. Hopefully I get to see someone fall to their death.
Wow.
Always hope.
Only if it's Gwen Stacy.
So I'm sure there's I don't know, if you go outside of the venue,
the right
there's probably there's betting. You know there is.
Oh yeah. But Doc, they don't have the rights to that, so.
It's a Feld Entertainment, I think it is.
Feld?
Feld, F-E-L-D, Entertainment. They do.
I was about to say.
They
if
do.
It was.
Well, they do the Mickey on. They do Disney on Ice and all those things.
Of course, they do.
Nice.
Wait, so this is ice skating?
No. It's actual combat. Well, sort of combat. It's, you know.
Oh, it's MMA.
Stage fight stuff.
Yes, yeah, fighting and in a
on ice. MMA on ice. Oh my God, I want to see that. I want to see that.
Well, actually, no, I went
happen.
To moto.
Stop,
I went to motocross on ice.
What?
I went to motocross on ice.
Really?
It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. Yeah.
Wow.
I confess that sounds pretty weird, but I just don't buy that. That's the weirdest thing you've ever seen.
Well, no, it's not. But it was up there. It was pretty odd. Just. There's people that were, like, into it that were, like, you know, way into it more than they should have been.
Oh, so was it the motocross on ice? It was the audience.
It was a combination of it.
Oh, I thought we were still talking about MMA. How come we're not talking
about
MMA?
You were talking about MMA on ice. And then
on ice.
I saw motocross on ice once, and then that diverted. But MMA on ice would be interesting.
But they have to have outfits like Johnny Weir.
Okay, the fact that you know one MMA personality more than I do frightens me.
Wait,
no,
Johnny Weir
is a figure skating personality,
it's a figure
skating. Not an MMA guy.
There you go.
Oh, is it that guy that's on with Tara Lipinski?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, God, I want to punch that guy in the head.
You and about 5 billion other people.
Want help?
Not particularly. I can't be bothered.
Oh.
My list of punchables is so long, Rob. He doesn't even crack the top 100.
Oh, I've got a very long list, too. But still, if there are very few people back that I would like to get in a bar fight with, you would be on the list.
You want to fight Johnny Weir?
Shortest barrel ever.
Why?
Because he's annoying. I can't decide whether he's more annoying than Tara Lipinski.
Wait a minute. He gets a job every 4 years.
He looks like the ice skating version of Adrian Brody. He's frightening.
But he gets a job every 4 years. That's all.
Yeah, so do politicians, and look how that turns out.
Well, there is that. Yeah.
Policies aside, I have to say I'm happy to have a president who can quote Caddyshack in a eulogy for Harold Ramis.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I was the only person that saw that, but yeah. So Rox, we've managed to do my niece's wedding in Arizona without having to actually stay or do anything in Arizona except the wedding.
So how did you do that? You tunneled under Arizona?
No, we're going to do a couple days in Santa Fe. And then we're driving from Santa Fe the morning of the wedding, do the wedding. The break between the wedding and the reception, we're going to do Taliesin West and the Phoenix Art Museum. And then after the reception ends, we're going to drive to Vegas and pitch in San Juan. And we're going to do a day in Vegas and then go home. Because I refuse to spend my money in a fuckity place like that.
It's something about black and white documents. They're selling printing. Do you guys hear that?
What is going on?
There's an ad for printing.
No, not me.
Did you hear it?
I'm not hearing anything.
Nope.
I'm not hearing it.
Oh, it came through here. It's a weird place here.
Are you having work flashbacks, Rox?
Oh, I try not to.
Okay.
Though I'm getting emails from people.
Well, good.
I get emails from people too.
Oh,
I don't.
Well, we know you don't.
He gets Rox.
Because you're all sketchy and everything.
He gets Rox's emails.
Damn it. Well, here, send that message off to Kelly. See how she is.
JJ?
Let me know if Marvel Universe Live is any good, because apparently it's coming here in 2 years.
Is that when it is?
Oh, my God. It's sad that your road shows take so long to get there.
Apparently it's playing here in March of 2016.
Well, they have to figure out how to put everybody on bikes to go to Portland.
Yeah. Really tall bikes.
Yeah.
With one big wheel and one little wheel?
No, the tall chop shop bikes.
Yeah, the ones that are really popular here are not the penny farthings, but the ones that have like two or three bicycles welded together.
I saw that. I thought that was a weird, yeah.
Or wheeled together. They're very...
You know what? That's old school. We used to do that in the 70s, okay?
Well, it looks stupid.
Yeah, it looks dangerous, I know. However...
I don't think you said dangerous. I think you said
stupid.
We didn't
have much to do back then.
No. I did hate the 70s rocks. I was very young during them, but I hated them.
The clothing was bad.
Yeah.
The clothing was great, as long as you liked brown corduroy.
How do you know? How old are you, new guy?
I don't really like to talk about that.
Be careful. He's replacing one of us in
tonight's
episode.
You know what he does? He has his hair down so you can't see gray. Do you have gray? Do you have gray hair?
Yes, I do have gray hair. And
Do you really?
My beard's almost entirely gray.
And his pubes.
No,
his pubes are
really?
Gray. Oh. I mean, I don't know.
Oh. Yes, you do. You roomed with him, didn't you?
Yes, just roomed. No sex at all.
No, how old are you, new guy? Old new
you
guy.
Know, you don't really want me to go into this on this show, but I think people are way too obsessed with it. I don't talk about it. I don't ask people their age. I don't tell age because I don't like to talk about it.
That means he's 58 years old.
58 works. If you want to think of me as 58, 98, I don't give a shit. I just don't. I think people focus way too much on it.
Okay, Uncle Grandpa.
There you go.
Just ask.
Whatever you want to take out of it. I just think that it's, kind of a bullshit.
I'm
concept.
Young at heart.
JJ, can we see your papers and proof of American birth, please?
Was born in Lompoc, California.
That's a very Portland thing, by the way, to attitude to have.
Yeah, but I got that attitude when I lived in Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh.
That's why you had to move to Portland, though.
Yeah.
So do you have a bike?
Better fly in Jackson.
Do you have a bike?
You and I have talked about biking.
Did we?
Yes.
I don't remember.
See, that's how you can tell Rob.
I'm going through therapy. What am I supposed to remember? My therapist tells me.
I even a question to help me rocks once about a bike need that I needed.
I thought the point of therapy was to bring up repressed memories.
Shut up, Scott.
That's just your therapist, Scott.
Yes. That's your therapist. Okay, yeah. So what kind of bike do you have? I forgot.
It's a combination street bike off-terrain bike. It's a Trek.
They're good. They're good.
It's okay. It's a. All I do is really take it, ride it to work. So it's a good just city bike.
That tone, JJ, means that your bike sucks.
No, Scott. No.
Wait,
Scott.
The way you said that's good.
Well, gotta replace somebody. So
Scott, that's the way I talk about everything. Everything.
Well, you think
right?
Everything sucks.
No.
Scott.
What?
She's grieving. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, Scott.
No, I'm very aware. My bike is a Chrysler LeBaron of bikes. It's a basic, it'll get me from one place to another kind of bike.
That's
not
all
flashy.
You need. Now, and I might be wrong, but isn't there a lot of weird bike theft in Portland? Like, is it the second highest bike theft city in the country or something?
Yes.
Well,
so
okay.
You want to have a bike that's practical but doesn't scream if I have a nice rich person's bike.
Well, the thing is, though, too, in Portland, since it's mostly bikes, I mean, it's like it would be car theft if it was someplace else.
Actually, there's a lot of car theft here, too.
Yeah, but they're really just borrowing it. They'll give it right back.
Actually, what they've changed to now, and here's just a tip for our listeners, is they don't actually like to steal cars. What they like to do is go into cars that have, like, if they can see that it's someone who leaves a lot of papers and shit in their cars, those will get ripped off first. Because those are people who tend to leave bank slips and shit in their car. Because they're actually wanting anything where they can get identity theft more than they want cars.
Oh, that's diabolical.
So always leave your car like paper free. Don't leave bags where people can see them, because that's where people will crack open your windows and steal.
So cart around a paper shredder.
Rocks
just hook it up. Just hook it up to the cigarette lighter, and there you go. Oh, and the thing is with the shredder, you can make margaritas, even though you shouldn't be drinking and driving. Just park, then make them.
Wait,
or
what?
If you're if you
what?
Hold on, wait. Someone's just gonna let that go? Are we not gonna discuss?
No, I was getting ready to ask about it. So.
What the hell is a Shredder and Margarita got to do with anything?
Didn't you ever see Falcon and the Snowman?
No. Because I
well, there you go.
I'm not as old as JJ.
You know what? Yeah.
It's the feel-good film of the year.
It is. Sean Penn's breakout role.
I thought that was marrying Madonna.
Dr. Richmond.
His breakout role was Fast Times.
Richmond's breakout role. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a serious breakout role.
Yeah, serious one.
I presume that anyone have been able to take him seriously.
Okay, so how do you make a margarita with a shredder?
Well,
how do
okay.
you make a margarita with a shredder?
You empty out all that paper that you just shredded, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Scott, you don't even drink. Why should I tell you?
I'm asking all right, for the audio.
Okay, so what you do...
And he's asking from the microphone
the
in the other room.
Okay. You, it's sort of a quick succession type thing. You have to like get at least two people to help. So at least there's got to be a bunch of clowns in the car to do this, apparently. So somebody has the ice. They throw the ice really quick into the shredder. And then they put in the rum. Yeah.
Tequila.
And then tequila. There you go. Like I know. And then the mix. And then they turn the thing on. And then you put a glass into the bucket. And there you go. And then,
this is
oh my gosh. And then you use rock salt because I'm sure you're in a place where there is snow. So just use some halite and you'll be fine. Wow. It'll be good because you're stuck in the snow anyway. So, you know.
What the fuck is that?
When I heard that someone made an air hockey cable out of an old copier, I thought that was impressive until I heard about that.
Yeah. There's still technical difficulties here. I don't know where Winch went.
Did he lock the door as he left?
I don't know. I don't know where he is. He's in here somewhere.
Are you setting your alibi now? Is that what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm texting, too, so they can follow my non-paper trail, electronic trail.
Nice.
Yes. So... So what's going on? I haven't watched the news in a long time. What's going on?
Well, there was the Olympics.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch that much of it. Who won? Did Vladimir Putin win?
Yes,
he won the competition for riding on horses without shirts.
All right.
Also the 100-meter dog slaughter.
I mean, normally,
you know,
Doc
would be the one to tell us to, you know, cut that stuff out, but he's here, so he can't say it.
Yeah, that was sad.
What the hell was that?
I don't know.
I think it was like a gem thing.
It sounded like an instant party for a second.
Where's Widge? We need guidance.
Do you want to use this? Then I can just have a cable.
So, Rox, when you go back to Jacksonville.
Get earbuds and split them, and then just each of you share.
No, I can probably use my Wi-Fi. Oh, we don't have...
No, because then people would be able to call out. That's why they don't have Wi-Fi down there.
What? No Wi-Fi down here? Oh, that's right. You know about these things.
Oh, I know that they had to run a damn cable from the upstairs to downstairs.
Back in the red nose days.
It's a bunker down there.
Kind of. You know, we're using a ice cream churn for electricity.
Have you looked under the stairs just to make sure there's no bodies?
John wants to know if you looked under the stairs. John.
No, I'm asking you. Don't ask him.
I can't. I'm kind of stuck here. We are under the stairs, I've been told.
Yes. You are the people under the stairs.
Oh my god, yes. Oh my gosh, yes, we are.
That's
I forgot
awesome.
About that movie. Don't be afraid of the dark. Who saw the new one? Anybody?
I did. It was me.
Did you ever see the Pam Darby one, the original, with Uncle Charlie?
William Demarest.
Oh, yeah, William Demarest. Yeah, Uncle Charlie. Don't open that door, Pam Darby. The little people will get you. That movie scared the crap out of me. I will tell you. Because you don't want people, little people, coming out of your basement. Just saying.
Yeah, you want to keep them in the basement, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them coming out. Well, speaking of little people, hold on. Good night, buddy.
Speaking of coming
bye,
out.
Hi, buddy. Everyone little
say
buddy.
Say hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. What's your name?
He's gone already.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not that dumb.
Fine.
You got a 770 area code. Hello? Caller, you're on
Hello?
The air.
Hello, is this the party to whom I'm speaking?
Caller, you're on the air.
This isn't who it would be if it wasn't who it is.
Oh, thank God. Hi, Doc.
Howdy, sir.
Oh, thank God. I had to stop looking for cables because there's some very important I needed to do. More important than looking for cables. It goes a little something like this. There we go. Thank God.
I'm just glad we don't plan world domination, you know?
Well, Rock, well, we do. It's just we fool everyone by making them think that we're this unorganized.
It's a very long game.
It is so long.
It is an incredibly long game.
So long.
It is a game that we have been playing since time immemorial. I remember when we started this game, we called the place Pangea.
We called it Mindspring.
Nerd joke.
Same difference.
I know that we called the wind Mariah.
Ooh.
I know. Well, the wind also cried Mary.
I broke like the wind.
Well, you know, she is like the wind through my trees. And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
But who will be the wind beneath my wings?
Damn you! Although, speaking of Patrick Swayze, you heard they're remaking Point Break.
Yeah.
Of course they are.
No, I didn't. Thanks.
Oh, God. Who's in it?
I forget. They cast somebody. I forget who, because I just put it out of my mind as soon as it happened.
You know what they just released, don't you?
They
did a remake of Endless Love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hell, they also remade Sexual Perversity in Chicago, but who's counting?
I would love it if they did Point Break like they did the stage version of Point Break that is playing in L.A. right now.
Oh, God.
Where the person playing the Keanu Reeves character every night is someone that they just grab from the audience, and that person just reads cue cards through the entire show.
The credit card would be funnier, in fairness.
4-1-7, whoa.
Oh, my God. Gerard Butler is playing the Patrick Swayze role.
Oh, Gerard, no.
You need to
someone
have...
from a G.I. Joe movie is playing the Keanu Reeves role.
Shannon Tatum?
Guys, get your killing.
It does create an instant meme, though, of kicking somebody down a pit and yelling, I am Utah!
Hey, I actually have a question for you guys. Why hasn't anyone mixed Disney's Frozen with Game of Thrones yet?
Well, they have, because there's a T-shirt that has Elsa on it, and it says "Winter's coming."
Ah, okay.
Now here's the real question: Why haven't they mashed up the Disney Frozen with that horror movie Frozen, in which those people got stuck on a chairlift in sub-zero temperatures, being menaced by wolves on a ski resort that had been shut for the summer or for the season? Because that would have been awesome. If she's like coming over the rise and like spewing all the snow and everything, and then you cut to, and Sean Ashmore is in that, actually, Iceman from Following.
Ironically enough.
There you go.
You hear that, Twitter? Get on it.
That's
the hell
like,
is Twitter,
you company? Screw your IPO. Make me mashups.
Why is Twitter listening to an audio program? If we wrote it, then they may be paying attention, I guess?
I think, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to have I know I've done like 140 characters of here's who's in each episode of Weekend Justice. Here's the announcement of Weekend Justice. I think we need each episode condensed into 140 characters.
I think you should just live tweet.
Oh, Jesus. Well, that's happened. And then you have Tuffley, who's live DJ'd, so...
So, Widge,
it's all terrifying.
Widge, I have to ask, because it's been... I've already brought it up a couple of times, but you weren't on the call. So, Doc's here.
Yeah! Who's, yeah, that's why I said hi, Doc, earlier.
Who's being written out of the show? I just want to know, because, you know, JJ's that's, here now.
That's right, it's the Shirley Jackson lottery episode of Weekend Justice. No, not the black spot! Not the black spot! Or, my favorite version of it, not happy birthday! Not happy birthday! That's one of my favorite cartoons of all time. What is the name of that piece of music? Well, you know what was great? It was only after your fifth incoherent syllable that I stopped believing you. That's how much conviction you have.
Did you say welcome to the machine?
Welcome to the machine.
I'm
oh.
Drinking Prosecco, okay?
Oh, my God. Prosecco talking? That's okay. I've got the innocent gun is going to be talking well enough here. I got a bomber of it, so let's do this thing. It's been a day. Oh, not only that, but there's a reason to drink. It's because Krispy Kreme opened nearby.
Oh, shit.
Oh wow.
You're going to be late yeah. there. You know that, right?
On Tuesday, sure.
Lynch, if I would have known, I would have taken you to the original Krispy Kreme when you were in town.
The original Krispy Kreme? Where is that?
St. Louis. It started here.
No way.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Is that where they liquefy the souls and turn it into the tasty glaze?
Yes.
Neat.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
Although, things have changed since there's been a Krispy Kreme near me, because as Kim sent me a text yesterday that they have the caramel coffee cream donut and the mocha cream donut.
The mocha cream.
I tried that one. That was kind of good. That was good.
It was good.
The caramel one's better, I think, because it's caramel.
Caramel.
I like it.
I don't know. Yeah, I finally had a chicken tikka.
Krispy Kreme now.
I finally had a masala.
Wait a minute, Scott, did you just tell your grandmother to go get you a Krispy Kreme?
God, no.
That's so rude. Although, you know what this means, is that next time Big Dub's here, we can make our own Krispy Kreme milkshakes and kill ourselves. Because Flip Burger had a Krispy Kreme milkshake that was basically a vanilla milkshake where they put two Krispy Kreme donuts in with the ice cream and the milk in the blender.
Not my favorite donuts.
Well, yeah, but where are you? I'm sorry, what do you have access to? Oh, that's right.
JJ, how often do you get those voodoo donuts?
Once a year, and then I take them to Atlanta.
Actually, the folks from Grimm, they were saying that they don't go to Voodoo Donuts. There's actually better places in Portland to get donuts than Voodoo Donuts. Voodoo Donuts just happens to be the trendy one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so that's what we need to do. We need to have a Portland donut tour.
I like it.
JJ's got to take us to all the various donut places in Portland.
Yeah, JJ, here's another donut place I don't go to. Here's another donut. You know what? I have these donut places. I live near them. I don't go to them just to spite you.
That's how hip he is.
I will say I did yesterday, because I don't get donuts very often, but I did yesterday stop at this this. It's a really cool, like, it's a burger joint in the afternoons, donut shop in the morning place, and got a blueberry fritter, and it was pretty freaking awesome.
Still didn't get a donut.
Got a blueberry fritter.
That's not the same thing.
But you could do all kinds of...
Scott.
One of these things is not like the other.
So JJ, apparently one of the girls that used to work at your donut place has opened a donut place here.
Oh.
It's called Strange Donuts. Oh my God. Yeah. And they literally, they're open 9 a.m. till noon and then 9 at night till midnight, during the week. And they're open until
like Buddha,
3.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But they sell out. Like, you have to get there like 10 minutes after they open because everything sells out. And last week they did their masala donut with basically like a chicken tikka masala in a donut.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. It's pretty great. But, they ship. So once they get that set up, which I'll ask you to tell me what you want and I'll send you a box.
Oh, good. That means that since I'm probably not going to make Dragon Con this year, you can have the donut responsibility.
You will make Dragon Con this year.
I don't think I will.
You will.
What? What? Why not?
What? What?
It's a long, boring story, but I don't think I will.
Okay. Hi, JJ. Hi. Welcome to our 3-hour podcast.
Please fill it up.
Wow. So basically... The thing this year is that no one's actually going to Dragon Con. That's the shtick.
Well, it's a Portland thing, really. It's Dragon Con's too hip to be hip now. So Portland.
I would love to go. I love going to Dragon Con, but the thing is, I have a project that I really want to do next year that I'm not really ready to reveal yet. And in order to do it, I have to save up time off from work. And
is it a giant chicken costume?
I think it's Sasquatch
next year,
porn.
I'm going to spend some time in a giant chicken costume, and in order to get the time off to have the chicken costume, I need to bank time off.
All right.
See, what you need to do is you need to get the deal that I've got at the library where my boss wants certain autographs, and if I get the autographs for him, they give me the days off.
And what he also does is he sticks you into a really tiny hole, so we can barely hear you.
No. For the love of God, I don't fit it
there
in
is.
A tiny hole.
There
What's
it
wrong
is.
With you? Your eyesight going away?
Okay. This got rude in a hurry.
That's okay. I'm picking on it. It's okay.
In a hurry? It's been like a whole, 45 minutes.
We don't do anything.
Yeah, I know, but I couldn't hear anything. I was having to react to Rox reacting to stuff.
So,
for all I know, she was listening to something completely different.
I was.
She was.
Is that this like audio book that's pretty interesting?
She was listening to an episode of My Word in reverse.
Right.
Where you tell a long story and at the beginning you have to pick one word out of it.
I actually like that. So Rob, you saw movies, yes?
Yes. Lots. Well, more than normal. Been a while.
Okay. So, more than normal, so that means 25? What?
Well, no. I had a funeral last week, so everything was shorter, so I saw like 4. No, I saw 5. I'd say I saw Lego today, which I hadn't seen.
And what'd you think?
You know, one, I did when I went in to see Lego, I was not expecting it to have the sort of Orwellian dystopia thing going on in it.
It's awesome,
okay.
Isn't it?
But it totally worked.
I was seeing Brave New World myself.
Oh yeah, that too. Yes, exactly. It was much more clever than I thought. Liam Neeson was great. Liam Neeson was great in it. And if anyone doubted Liam Neeson could do comedy, they're wrong. And you know, for basically a movie geared towards kids, it had your typical batch of adult jokes, and it kind of worked. I mean, it wasn't great. It was. The thing is, at the end of it, Will Ferrell does this thing where he plays against type and he does like serious acting, which I'd almost wish he would try more that than comedy. But no, it wasn't.
Well, he did it. Everything Must Go is actually
the last couple times he's tried it, it's bombed. So
Everything Must Go is actually a pretty decent film. I
like that.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot too. Yeah,
I'm just saying it bombed.
Oh yeah, it didn't do well. It didn't do well at the theater. But then again, neither did that Spanish speaking comedy either.
Well, I like that too. That was genius. But no, I liked it, and you know the Batman jokes were funny, and just they pulled in a lot of. It makes a lot of visual jokes that the older folks will get. There's visual 2001 ripoffs. There's ripoffs. You know the Star Wars bits were actually pretty funny.
That killed me.
I could not believe that was in there.
Yeah.
And it was, I liked it way more than I thought.
Oh, stuck in a hole again.
There, that's better. That's better. Sorry. I liked it way more than I thought I was going to like it. So that was actually pretty awesome.
I thought for me, so far this year, although we're only 3 months into the year, best movie so far, I thought. I mean, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that film.
The problem is, though, is that the song in it will be stuck in your head for days.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't. Oh, God, it's back in there.
Everything is awesome? Everything is cool when you're part of a team? Everything
Scott,
is awesome?
Dating? Scott, what are you doing?
And
when you're living our dream?
In my head now, God damn it.
And the fact that Mother's Ball did the score made it even nicer. It was a nice, tight little package of music, which I thought was fun.
Although the Batman song is priceless.
Darkness! Yeah. Something Batman even more song. Dark!
Yeah.
No parents!
Okay, that was the creepiest laugh ever. That was the creepiest laugh ever. So.
Everyone's really staticky over here on the side.
Yeah.
So I cut you off though because I really love the Lego movie. You were saying other movies. That
no,
you saw.
I liked it way more than I thought I did. And
wait, you liked it way more than you thought you did, or you thought you
I
would?
Thought way more. I thought that I would.
Okay.
Sorry. I was not expecting it to be. I mean, I held off on going, but literally, people are like, you have to see it. It's really great. You're gonna love it. I'm like, all right, sure. But no, I liked it. And it was great because when I was in the theater, there weren't any kids. So it was even better. I could get the jokes without hearing, you know, all the shenanigans with kids. So
damn kids.
I do think it's kind of funny that the people who made the film, apparently their MO is to make films that you think will not be that good and then are better than you think.
21 Jump Street, funniest film I've seen in a long time.
I postponed seeing that for a long time, and everybody told me it was awesome. I'm like, there's no way it's awesome. I saw it. It was really good.
Ice Cube in that was just hilarious. I mean,
Don, what did your kids see the Lego movie?
Oh yeah.
Well, what'd they think of it?
They thought it was awesome. They thought it was cool to be part of a team.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, those guys are actually Saturday Night Live writers, which is why they kind of keep getting the same folks.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes much more sense.
The writing
and the funny thing is, they're working on 21 Jump Street or 22 Jump Street, excuse me. And I still think, and once again, I'm like, I don't want to see 22 Jump Street. 21 Jump Street did just fine.
Yeah.
Well, you know what sells that movie? What sells 21 Jump Street is Nick Offerman's monologue at the very beginning of the film, which, you know, basically says, you know, look, we know that this is stupid. We made this movie basically off of a television show, but everyone's making us do it, so here you go.
Yeah.
And I imagine they'll have the same monologue when they reduce 22. Look,
well, they already...
this is a sequel of a TV show, but we had to do it.
Well, they already put it in the trailer. It's already in the trailer, him doing that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go.
So, anyway. What other movies have you seen, Rob? Because I don't know if Widge is still here. Is Widge still here?
He's disappeared again. I think he went.
Well, that's it.
Well, his phone is still visible.
Yeah, I see it. But I haven't heard from him.
He's looking for a table.
Which?
Did you kill him?
What? I'm probably in the minority of people that liked Monument Man.
Well, yeah, apparently that's what it sounds like.
According to what I'm seeing, half the people like it, half the people don't. So you're sort of like in the middle.
Well, I think the key to it is if you go into it expecting it to be a World War II movie a la The Dirty Dozen, you're going to be sorely disappointed because they sort of marketed it as it's a case of it not being marketed. Well, they sort of marketed it as this like tense, oh, we got to beat the Germans sort of World War II film. But actually it's a film about, you know, the preservation of art and culture. And that's not going to really jive too well, you know? And well, if you're going, you know, if you're going there thinking there's going to be tons of guns shooting and stuff, you're not going to get that. But it's, you know,
you got your
the casting in it is pretty good.
I can swim.
Yeah, everybody who's in it is pretty good. Bob Balaban actually steals the movie.
Not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, he's solid in everything. But
oh, wrong thing.
Roxy, okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Are you talking to the conductor again?
yeah, she's just passing through. She's dropping off cocktail peanuts. Peanuts.
Damn train in my basement.
Peanuts. Just so you know.
I hate it when that happens.
I know.
Yes.
So you know they're not in my size.
And
I really do need 27
thanks,
inches.
Rob, God, I got to chuckle out of Rob. God, you guys suck.
He is a bum.
He is a bum.
True.
Whoever.
So, anyway, not the Dirty Dozen, more the Arty Dozen.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and yeah, they go from point A to point B. With, it moves through time in places it's a little clunky. But, you know, at this point, like, there was somebody that's like, I can't follow this. I'm like, I'm sorry, they just put, you know, Normandy, 1944, up on the screen, and then right after it, you know, Battle of the Bulge, 1944, or whatever. If you can't follow that, that's not my problem.
Well,
you know,
it's your failed history class.
Well, part of it is, too, is that they cast a lot of comedy actors, and there's parts of it where it is awkward because you have Bill Murray who and Goodman to a certain extent who are steeped in some comedy doing scenes with, you know, Balaban, who's more of a dramatic actor than you would expect, and Cate Blanchett. So I mean, it's a little there's times where there's some awkward screen pairing stuff in it. But if you're I'm fascinated with the whole idea of trying to track down stolen art. I think it's a fascinating sort of story anyway. And you know, to that end of it, it's great. And you know, Hugh Bonneville is actually—I forgot how good of a actor Hugh Bonneville is. When you get him outside of the confines of Downton Abbey, he's actually, you know, pretty great.
He made a great pirate.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, no, I didn't hate it. I thought it was actually pretty good. Yeah, it wasn't the best movie of the year, and I don't think any of the Oscar hype on it was really deserving, but it was, you know, for what it was pretty good. Did you guys see the cast when they were on Graham Norton?
No, I haven't, but I haven't watched it.
Aaron, yeah, that it's one of the most amazing shows that Graham Norton's ever done.
Yeah, it was great, and so he has Bill Murray on, and they're in Berlin for the Berlin Film Festival, and the whole cast is going to dinner, and Bill Murray finds Matt Damon in the hotel lobby and says, "Hey, Matt, I'm not going to make dinner tonight. I'll see you tomorrow." And Damon's like, "Do you feel bad? Are you sick? What's going on?" He goes, "Oh, no, I'm going to Prague." And it's like 5 o'clock at night. So Bill Murray jumps on a train, goes to Prague. He gets there at about 11 o'clock at night. And he said in the interview that someone from the embassy took him around. So I'm guessing someone from the American embassy drove him around Prague. But apparently he was, you know, he took off last minute, did Prague. And he said, "Oh, I've never been there." And then got back just in time for all the press stuff to start, like not missing a beat.
Okay, so Bill Murray.
Exactly. It made it even more awesome. So, you know, that was one of the things that made me say, okay, I think I want to see this, is watching the whole interview with the cast where they talked about watching Gaiman and Bonneville and Bill Murray talk. I mean, that was great. Yeah, Graham Norton actually was one of the few times where you just shut up and let the guest speak, and that totally worked. But if you are someone who likes historical films, see it. Roxy will probably cry through parts of it like I am when they burn some things.
Oh, but, no!
Yeah. You know, when they start burning rooms full of Picassos, I'm sure that, you know.
Oh, man.
Well, the only good thing about Roxy seeing it is that she'll probably be, for some of them, she's like, "Well, it's a good thing I stole that one before and put that replica in its place back in 38.
38, yeah.
That was a good year for art theft. Yeah.
Yes, it was. So I hear... Yeah. So I hear.
my girlfriend's an art history, got an art history major, so I kind of want to see it. I want to take her to it just because it looks like Art History Detectives, the movie.
There's the story that they tell, there's a much better documentary that came out a couple of years ago based on a book called The Rape of Europa that's all about, like, hunting down stolen Nazi art. And
oh, the train is a good one too. That Burt
Lancaster. Oh, that thing
instead
is amazing.
Paul Schofield.
Yeah, that thing's
playing
really good
a Nazi.
Too, and Schofield plays a really great Nazi. I mean,
yes, he does.
Such a thing. But yeah,
what a great Nazi.
Max, yeah, I mean, it's not up to Max von Sydow level, but it's, you know, it's pretty good.
Kind of Nazi that you want to, you know, babysit your kids.
No. Oh, I need Nazis babysitting my kids. But I don't want a kid, so that works bad. And then they had a screening last week of Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, and?
It's the best Peter Sellers film I've seen in 30 years.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Because here's where it's so brilliant, right? Everybody, like, there's a couple people who are like, well, I don't understand it. Ralph Fiennes is supposed to be funny. I'm like, no, Ralph Fiennes is doing the same sort of typical English humor that Peter Sellers did, but did it so well. I mean, he's very sort of aloof and proper and reserved, and he has these very throwaway lines. It's like Wes Anderson totally knew that he, like, couldn't take him from Shakespeare into comedy all the way from the left to the right, so he puts him sort of right in the middle and just lets him go with it, right?
Well, but everything I've seen of him in the trailer looks fucking hysterical.
He's great. No, he's funny as hell in it, but it's not like he's... But the thing is, it's that sort of comedy, which is kind of what I expected in his performance. It's almost, it's so effortless. I mean, I didn't think they were going to go all the way to the left and just have him be like crazy, you know, Ealing comedies, but I knew they pulled him back a little. But it's nuanced enough that it sort of reminded me of some of the non-King Panther Peter Sellers stuff.
Okay.
And it was really, really good. And then he's got a couple scenes with Edward Norton that are also just, like, amazing. And Tom Wilkinson's in it at the beginning. And it starts off kind of slow. Nobody here is going to, like, give up on it, but you got to stay with it for the first 10 or 15 minutes. But the kid he's got in it, the young actor, I don't know who plays Zero. I don't know where I've seen him before, but he's really, really good at it. And then, speaking of Nazis, Wes Anderson does this thing where he sort of makes the Nazis clownish by not calling them Nazis. He just sort of reinvents a country and sort of reinvents all the signage for the Nazis, you know, and sort of takes their place with other things. Rocks will love the art direction in it because the art direction is better than Moonrise Kingdom.
No, really?
Yes.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, it helps to have the locations you have, too. But, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
And Harvey Keitel's in it very briefly, but he's perfect for what he does. And it's, you know, it's not as light and feel-good and fun as Moonrise Kingdom, but it's more Tenenbaums than it's Royal Kingdom.
Okay.
But that's not bad in my book.
And oh, no. I love Tenenbaum.
And S. Murray Abraham is just wonderful in it, which is great. I mean, it's good to see him making movies again. I mean, it's a really, really solid cast, and it's funny, and it's sort of, it's got these moments of whimsy to it that are just perfect because they come after these, like, really intense things, you know. It almost felt like Wes Anderson doing a Jeunet film. It was like if Wes Anderson made Amelie, this is kind of what it would be like. That's kind of what it's, at times what it felt like. But Ralph Fiennes is just, I mean, it's his whole movie, you know, and it's, I'm trying to figure out the perfect sort of, I guess the tone is what I'm looking for. The tone of it is good. I mean, I knew the pacing would be good, but the tone of it is just really, really well done. And that's something that he did really well in Moonrise, but I don't think that he necessarily did in Rushmore. I think Rushmore, he was so worried about telling the story that the tone and the pitch sometimes are lost. But he's getting, each of his films is getting better. And Bill Murray and Balaban are in it for very short times. But the bits that they're in that link together, like they link in, they just knock off cameo after cameo after cameo in a way that's really hilarious.
Right.
And you'll know it when you see what I'm talking about. But I don't want to ruin it.
That's fine.
But they do this really good bit that it's a spoof. Yeah, it's really fun, and it's also a fun prison break movie too, which is also good. And I mean, it's really ambitious. And they do, there's this one scene where they do a scene on a cable car with basically two of those sky cars, and they cross each other. And the way that whole scene is shot, with the backdrop behind it, is pretty incredible. I don't think they did it live. I think it's models or something. But
right.
it really works. I mean, Ralph Fiennes in this is just as good, if not better, and surprising as Bruce Willis was in Moonrise Kingdom. I mean, that's sort of how finessed it is.
Huh.
And it looks amazing. I mean, it looks better than Moonrise. And, you know, he breaks it into part one, part two, and part three again, but that's fine. Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. So he sort of carries the style of his last movie into this one. But he gets to play with history, he gets to play with place, and he gets to play with more costumes. I mean, the costuming on it is much more bolder as well. And I think in terms of the acting, I think he let the actors go a little more, because Adrian Brody looks really comfortable. There'll be a time, which, and you'll know when you see it, when Adrian Brody's in it.
Yeah.
And you'll see him, and you'll be like, my God, he could play Adams in the Adams Family.
Okay.
There's one scene where you just look at the way he dressed him and he styled him, he could totally pull it off. And then Willem Dafoe's in it, and he's got scenes with Adrian Brody, which normally you would think would be kind of awkward and weird, but it totally works. And he doesn't say a lot, but it's this amazing performance, just completely based on Willem Dafoe doing sight gags without speaking much. It's great, you know?
Which is funny, because it's like, you know, as much as I love Willem Dafoe and like his other stuff.
Yeah.
I absolutely, he was like one of the best things about Life Aquatic, you know?
Yeah.
He's great in Wes Anderson films.
Yeah, I mean, and they all look like they're having an awful lot of fun, which is the best thing in it. But it is definitely Ralph Fiennes' movie. He carries, you know, the whole thing revolves around him. So it's a house of cards. If he doesn't work, the whole thing falls apart. So to that end of it, it's pretty audacious. But I just thought he was great in it, and it's that sort of very sort of dry English comedy sort of humor that. We will totally get. I'm interested to see how the reaction goes with it, because, oh God, what was that movie he was in where they fixed the game show?
Oh,
what, Quiz Show?
Quiz Show.
Yeah, it was. He hasn't been sort of that nuanced since Quiz Show, and where he wasn't funny in Quiz Show, he wasn't really, I per se, funny as Quiz Show, like. In Quiz Show, but the similarities are in that he pulls back a little bit, and he's intense without having the visual. He has a visual intensity to his methodology of when he acts. And this, he does a lot of, he sort of turns that into a sort of quieter, nuanced role. And he completely flips how he does the emotional resonance too, to where it's more comedic and melancholic than it is just outright rage, which he does rage really well. So it's almost like he channeled everything inward and turned himself out, inside out. But he's great at it, so I recommend it. So, you know, I can't really say anything bad about it, really.
I can't wait to see it.
And Rox is going to eat up how it looks. It just looks amazing.
Oh, I was sold by the trailer. I'm like, oh, yeah. I got to see that.
Yeah, like I said, I can't even imagine the relief with which Ralph Fiennes took the call about, you want me to do a what? Okay. Because he's always,
yeah,
especially after, it's like, after Coriolanus, it's like, well, I need a break.
You know, which the best way for me to describe it, it would be like Ralph Fiennes was in a Kevin Kline role.
Oh, okay.
That might
I'm fine with that. Way to,
yeah, I am too.
But I see why Ray Fine in a remake of I Love You to Death. Why not?
Yeah.
But they don't need to remake I Love You to Death.
Well, no, they don't need to remake a lot of things they remake, but they're going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
If you're going to do it, you might as well get Ray Fine.
That is true. And then Wojcik took one for the team out of hilarity and more curiosity of out of how terrible is it.
Okay.
I saw the Lone Ranger.
Oh, God, why?
Oh, no.
Ew.
Why did you do that?
Well, okay.
He's just going to say he likes it.
No, Ross will understand this, because when I grew up, the Lone Ranger was a big fucking deal, right?
Okay.
And it was cool to watch the Lone Ranger on TV, and I'm like,
were you born in the 40s?
No, but it was always on when we were kids, right?
I never watched it.
Oh, it was on here, like, all the time.
I did, Rob.
It still is. They play it late at night here before F Troop. But,
oh, I like that fruit.
Rob, it's where I first became a racist. So, it's a, it's a foundation for me.
But, anyway, I thought, okay, it can't be as bad as the one they made in the 80s. It can't be that bad.
Oh, God, Rob, it was my sacrifice for nothing.
Oh, God, it's pretty horrible.
God, it's awful.
And, you know, it's just, oh, my God. It made Wild Wild West look like Lawrence of Arabia.
You know what?
Oh, my God.
You're right. You're totally right about that. I had not considered that, but you're absolutely right.
So, yeah. And I was like, you know what? I can check it out from the library. It's free. How bad? It's a free movie. I could stop. You know, I'm not out any
money. So you didn't pay for it at all?
Oh, God, no. And
your tax dollars.
But to be fair, I want my money back for all the souls that did see it.
Hey, it's good, Rob. Oh, although I tried to warn you.
I can't think of one redeeming thing to even say about it, except it ended.
And it does have, from what I understand, about 2 hours into it, probably the one moment that plays well. Granted, I have not seen it. I am going from what people have told me, but
yeah, well, please tell me what moment that is, JJ.
It's when the Wellington Overture finally kicks in.
Oh, Jesus, no.
For a second, go.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a second. And then they play that for 20 continuous minutes.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
You will hate, as I do, the Wellington Overture.
If
you,
yes.
They don't, it's like the 27-inch dance remix. That's what it is. It's awful.
Without any dubstep.
The other astute observation I made is that Army Hammer is now, for the rest of his life, going to get all the movies that Brendan Fraser passed on.
Oh, wow.
He is this generation's Brendan Fraser.
Which is a shame, because he was really good in Social Network.
I know. And which is part of the reason I'm like, well, he was in Social Network. He wouldn't pick a bad movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but Brendan Fraser was in, was it?
All God? Three Mummies? Yeah.
No, well, the movie he did with Ian McKellen, that the name's not just leaving me all of a sudden.
Oh, God's a Monster. Oh,
God's
a
Monster.
God the Monster.
Ian McKellen said that he was his favorite actor to work with.
Quiet American with
Michael Caine.
Thank you.
Well, once he started doing kid movies, that's when it got bad. But, oh, my God. No, it was...
Is he working at all?
No, Brendan Fraser?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's he doing?
I'm sure
he's
got
it.
The thing is,
I'm sure Chutes and Ladders is in production.
that is after Lego.
Candyland!
Which maybe you can answer this. Is it when Disney has a bomb, they decide to buy a studio? Because, didn't they buy Marvel about the same time that John Carter came out?
I don't remember. I didn't see a timeline.
If that were really true, there wouldn't be any studios left, except me.
But,
I don't know. I mean, it just seems like every time they have a really big bomb, it's like, oh, we need to buy something.
Well, no, I think they've been very strategically purchasing. I mean, they needed Pixar because Pixar was basically their idea factory. And as we've seen with stuff like Frozen, and even before that with stuff like Bolt, I mean, it's very obvious that they've sucked all the life out of Pixar and put it back into Disney. So there's that. Then they had the young female market tied up with Disney princesses, and they bought Marvel to basically try to get young males. And then you get Star Wars, which basically is like, hey, we can generate stuff off of this for the, you know, until the sun goes Nova, you know?
Oh, speaking of Marvel, has anybody seen, I'm assuming we've all seen the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
I'm in.
No. Yeah.
Only in.
Oh, I just saw the one. I haven't seen the new one, but yeah.
Is it just me, or is it, I can't talk.
Use your
surprise.
Words.
Remember, they're replacing
Marvel
somebody.
Marvel realized
I've
that
missed
Guardians
you,
of the Galaxy is just too goofy. So instead of trying to make it serious, they decided to embrace the goofy.
It was always goofy.
It was always goofy at this point.
Yeah, but I think initially people were wondering if they were just going to try to make it at least kind of...
Those are people who never read Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's a lot of people.
Oh, sure, it's a lot of people. But, I mean, Rocket Raccoon, you talk about a character that got his start in a series where he was defending a Gideon's Bible?
Yes.
From Space Invaders? There was never any serious happening.
A Gideon's Bible, not okay.
Yeah.
Not King James.
Part of me wants to know, but part of me doesn't.
Go back and listen to your Beatles.
Seriously, it's a Beatles song. It's not hard.
Yeah. But, which, to be fair, I did cleanse my palate by seeing Philomena after that.
Oh, how was that?
In a real year. That's not this year. Steve Coogan gets an Oscar, but it's not going to happen. I mean, it will completely change. The fact that he's got that and Alan Partridge both coming out sort of back-to-back is really interesting. But at this point, his best film role, I thought, before this was 24-Hour Party People, but not anymore. And he's going to be able to think of his acting career has changed in the same way that Bill Murray's did, sort of when he just decided, okay, I've done comedy, now I'm doing drama. This is his actual moment. And he goes toe-to-toe with Judi Dench for 2 hours and doesn't miss a beat. And it's a very intense and sad film, and it emotionally gets you, but it is amazing. And Coogan's just great in it. I mean, Judi Dench is Judi Dench. I can't really, you know. But
is that as good as that? What was it? Where she played that writer with Alzheimer's?
Oh, the Iris Murdoch movie?
Yeah. Is it along that kind of line?
No, it's a little happier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Most films are.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I'd rather sit through that again than The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, there's that. Because I mean, you know, even Requiem for a Dream won't make you lose your faith in humanity like The Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say this, though. If we get Steve Coogan over here and his acting career changes, can we get Rob Brydon, too? Because I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, too.
Rob Brydon, even the Tom Jones story.
Oh, man.
I'd watch it.
I know.
Yeah, there's an Alan Partridge screening next week, so I'm looking forward to that. But I'm interested to see how that's going to go over here because I don't think a lot of people know about it.
Be nice that'll be.
But it's a film I don't even think they even. I don't think you make a film like that with the American audience in mind.
No, I don't. I think they brought it over. I think it came out because Philomena did so well that they put it out over here.
Yeah.
In expanded theaters, but yeah. Although, you know, sort of a lot of the British stuff is hotter now that it's been in 20 years because we get some of it now. So maybe they might catch lightning in a fire with it. I'm interested to see how it translates into a film. So
I've heard from people who've seen screeners that it's really amazing.
I've seen which?
Screeners of the Alan Partridge film.
Oh, okay.
I can't wait.
But to go back to what you said about Guardians of the Galaxy, to me, it's got that sort of, I think you'll appreciate it more if you, like me, grew up basically going through the video rental store and, you know, renting every single sci-fi movie that you could lay hands upon, because it's just got that insane feel to it, but like on like Adderall. I really can't wait for it.
Although the thing that's interesting is they are putting those actors, most of those guys, on the concert circuit awfully quick to promote the movie.
So is that because they're worried about it,
well,
or not?
I don't think so, because that's just been Marvel's MO lately, or Disney, whatever. Marvel.
That's true.
It's,
yeah.
They just want to get it. They, and listening to, oh, God, who is there? Who's the chief guy over there for Marvel Studios?
Quesada?
Yeah. No, not yeah. Quesada, the other guy.
No, Kevin Feige?
Yes, mm-hmm. Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
He was a, or Feige? Is it Feige or Feige?
It's Feige.
It's spelled like Feige, so therefore I pronounce it like Feige.
Okay.
Pronounced Feige.
It's Feige?
I did an interview once.
Feige?
That I heard. It's Feige.
Like pudding?
Yeah, well, kind of. But yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, that guy.
Like Spanish?
So the pudding guy.
Yeah, his thing is that he knows that he needs to build, he needs to give the nerds, the geeks, us, the pop culturalists, a little something at the very beginning to kind of get us excited, because he knows that that's where his bread is buttered. And we are, for lack of a better term, we're the tastemakers in these kind of things. So
he's also got to convince the nerds that having Rocket speak in a non-Cockney accent is acceptable.
Well, there is that too. And so you have to get everything used to it, and everyone used to it. So it's just their MO. I don't think it has anything to do with that they're worried about the how it's going to go. I mean, I'm sure it's going to make tons of cash no matter what, because it's got just because it has Marvel on it at this point. So
I think it's probably going to make a lower tier Marvel money. You know, it's probably going to make closer to Captain America money than Avengers money, but I think it's going to do just fine.
Well, you know, probably maybe even Hulk, Incredible Hulk money.
Yeah,
but
yeah, possibly. I think here's the other thing that I think is going to sell it is how well does it tie in?
Yeah.
With the rest of the movies.
Yeah.
Because if you're like, because everybody knows you need to go see them in order to find out what's happening.
Right.
So my question for Marvel is, how are you tying in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to Captain America 2? And how are you tying in Guardians of the Galaxy to the rest of the cinematic universe? Because not everybody knows who the hell Benicio del Toro was supposed to be at the end of Thor, too, right? So,
yeah.
And but I think what the big the scary bit is, what you don't want is you don't want another, Serenity on your hands. If it's only the whole thing is, it's not just Marvel fans that go to see these things.
Well, yes.
So, I mean, they need to get out there and prove to everybody that it's going to work. And my hope is that they have, because I think it might actually be good. I don't think it'll be like Captain America 2 good, because that looks fucking amazing.
Oh, my God.
But we'll see. I'm hopeful.
Oh, did you see the poster they put out for it?
No.
It's funny. The tagline is, from the studio that brought you The Avengers, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, Guardians of the Galaxy. You're welcome.
Okay.
So I think they're definitely going for the snark on this, and that could be good.
Well, and it's there's a niche. There's a niche that hasn't been filled lately. At least I don't know. I haven't seen a lot in the theaters super recently, but the whole like sci-fi comedy angle is not.
It hasn't been done well with books too.
No,
right?
It hasn't.
I mean,
it's
hard.
Been a long time since like the first Men in Black movie, which is the last one I can think of that was just stunningly funny and good and surprising. So yeah, there's definitely a spot. I mean, there's The World's End, but that's a whole different thing.
That's an animal unto itself.
Yeah, exactly. So
and that's
yeah,
why we're waiting for Ant-Man with bated breath.
Totally on board with that.
So the general audience has always bought into those things if they're marketed well, and the trailer is leaving no doubt in anybody's mind that this is going to be played for some nice smart-ass, you know, one-liners and laughs and some blowing shit up with a crazy raccoon that rides a tree. So I think they'll get a general audience on the back of just the way they're marketing it right now, and I think the nerds, honestly, are going to be the hardest ones to sell on it.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they start early.
Right. That's exactly right.
Well, and they've learned also from the mistakes of Scott Pilgrim and Serenity, and the fact that they don't show the movie like they showed those films, because they wanted, especially for Serenity, they wanted word of mouth. But what ended up happening
is by the time the film came out, everybody who'd wanted to see it had already seen it.
Right.
And so now you get everybody really anxious. And I mean, people I know that are not comic fans come up to me, you know, ever since that trailer's been out, and they've been asking me, so what the hell is this? I mean, it's certainly drummed up more interest than like we were talking about how poorly last summer we were talking about how poorly Pacific Rim was marketed. And this seems to already be, you know, in the consciousness a lot better than Pacific Rim.
Well, I think in Pacific Rim's defense, I think I was perplexed as to why. I don't know that it was marketed poorly, but that the marketing was somehow interpreted in some weird ways by the general public. Like, I literally had somebody, because I'd always heard, oh, everyone thinks it's Transformers, to which I went, I don't know what that means. And I had somebody tell me, oh, that's Transformers, isn't it? I'm like, where are you getting Transformers? I don't understand. So there's some sort of weird cerebral disconnect between geeks and non-geeks as to Pacific Rim.
Not enough Gigantor fans.
And the thing is,
yeah. Ooh, yay!
And the thing is, I thought the general public liked Transformers because they keep making them.
They make money. Doesn't mean that the public likes them.
That's true. The public goes and like they'll flagellate themselves while watching them. I'm so sorry. Well, it's like, here's the other thing that I was thinking, stuff that people don't like. That makes money. Is that okay? Have you guys seen the Expendables 3 trailer, the little teaser?
Oh my god, is there one?
Yes.
Why?
No, wait. No. Expendables 2 was great. Okay? Expendables 2 was exactly what you wanted Expendables 1 to be.
I'll take your word
and
for
to
it.
Their credit, I think they realized, hey, we missed it. And they went back with Expendables 2, and I really enjoyed Expendables 2. Expendables 3, watch the trailer. It is basically whistling Bridge Over the River Kwai while the entire cast walks up and stands in a line, and then their names appear. And no, but I'm like, you got Antonio Banderas, Harrison Ford, and, you know, and like two or three other people in addition to everyone else they added in Expendables 2. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this is what I wanted the G.I. Joe to look like. So yeah, watch the Expendables 3 trailer and go and think, if this had been the G.I. Joe movie, would I have been pleased? I think it would have been pleased. So and you guys heard about, what is it, Black Widow is definitely going to be a film now for Scarlett Johansson?
Really?
I did see that.
What is?
Black Widow.
Are they going to, okay, cool. Are they going to, is it going to be Black Widow and Hawkeye or just Black Widow on her own?
You know, I have no idea, but they have a tendency to bring in, guest stars, as we're seeing.
Yeah, so, the way it was pitched in the articles I saw was that it was a Black Widow feature project, but that doesn't mean that there's not going to be a cameo or two.
He's hurt.
Yeah.
So here you go ahead. I'm good. Bye.
She's switching
off because these are not my cans.
She needs different cans. Are you
going to
go get your cans?
No, I'm done. I'm out of here.
I thought I heard boob.
I'm leaving. This it's the cookie chair and these weird cans. And right, where we are.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Gosh, the budget from NPR just goes downhill every week.
Rox doesn't like the Technocave.
God. Waiting for something to slither out.
Nothing's gonna slither out. It's a basement. It's okay.
We don't have basements in Florida. There's a reason. Things seep into the wall. Seepage.
Things slither in Florida. You don't. More than here?
No, you don't. My God. You know what? I'll just sit here and just make comments and I can't hear anything.
We can get you different kids.
That's fine. No. Oh, I'm going to just do it this way. That's all.
She's just going to check her email and drink and
I'll check in.
And I'll
check in.
Now, that was the Rox moment, ladies
there
and gentlemen.
There you go. You know, it's not like we didn't plan this.
I know. I didn't realize.
I'm like, should I bring headphones? Should I not bring him? No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Cable to get over to where you are. I wanted to give you enough space so you weren't like all up over here going, why am I? Eddie, you got the comfy chair. She's got a sumo chair. She's sitting in basic. Her ass is parked. And she's complaining.
Yeah, well.
Some people you can't make happy.
Well, no.
Bloody hell.
Well.
Just can't please some people.
It's like a 21st century version of His Gal Friday.
Yeah, I hear that from that guy. Move along. Next topic.
So who's the guy trapped in the roll top desk?
So Rox.
Oh my God! Just give me a topic without just give me an idea and I'll start spouting.
Okay, Rox, talk about the drone.
This is like the Tonight Show, yeah. Where Ed can't hear anything.
Which are you on a condenser mic?
Yes, sir. Yes.
What's that?
She is, yes.
Oh, okay, because you're on the other side of it, aren't you?
What, who is?
You are.
No, I'm speaking into a different mic.
Yeah, different. I've got this other mic. Oh, okay.
I've got a regular handheld.
I can't hear anything.
It's not handheld. I've sort of got it propped up on my desk.
Right. I can't hear anything.
Sounds better now.
But I have a live mic.
Yeah, Rob.
Can you explain the drone story?
We're going to get a parsec for this
one. Okay, hang on. Rox, we're going to get a parsec because I'm going to explain the drone story to Rob.
Okay.
Okay, so we pull up to a Starbucks, and before I stop the car...
Oh, my God, yes.
Rox is opening the back door. I'm like, I yell out,
oh, my God, stop the car!
I'm pulling into a parking space.
And he yells out.
Right, so Rox tumbles out. There is a guy with a drone, like, tricopter.
Homemade drone.
Yeah, completely homemade. He's like, this is in an apartment complex type of, one of those apartment complex, like, shopping center.
I go running up. I was going to pull the little remote control out of his hands. I'm like, I want to try this. And he broke it.
He was so scared about Rox getting her hands on a drone, which, as we know, by UN mandate, she cannot.
Oh,
not since the last time.
In Indonesia. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But basically, he like had a 3D printer that he used to make.
3D printer, a Lucite cutter.
Yeah.
He bought propellers that were cheap shit. And you know what? He used balsa wood. Okay. I don't know. You know, I already just looking at it.
Hey, he tried. You know, he tried.
Way, I'm like, I was looking forlornly when he took his little toy away because I'm thinking, I can help you. I can.
So,
you know, I've got my phone.
Rox is trying to push it in
earlier,
though.
Cosette can find me later. And, you know, we could be making drones together. Anyway, it's
terrifying. Unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
He broke a propeller and stuff. So I think he spent like $500 on this.
Yeah,
thing.
Scott, the reason we don't have a 3D printer is because that like costs money.
Yeah, it costs a lot of money.
Okay, people, if you're listening to this, give us the money so we can buy a 3D printer so Rox can make drones.
Yeah, a 3D printer for Rox to make drones. That's our new Kickstarter.
Oh my God, yes!
Yes!
Oh my God! And you know what, at Dragon Con, I'll let you maybe play with the remote.
No, even better, Rox, even better. One of the premium levels
yes.
is that if you donate,
yes.
is that you will sign a waiver that says you will not spy on them. So really the only way to not get spied on by Rox's Fattest House in 2015 is to give to the Rox's Fattest
yes,
House.
Yes, give me money.
Hold up, that's a reward for the $100 and up tier only.
No, Doc. Oh, I don't.
We're not making any promises to these $50 motherfuckers.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Okay.
I was gonna say it's like, you know, $100 and up and then $50. Maybe $50 3 days out of the week we won't spy on you, but we won't tell you which three.
And for $25.
And our first stretch goal is we'll have one at DragonCon that will follow Scott around and just play the most embarrassing things that John's got on the soundboard.
No, Doc. What'll happen is for $100 a month, for the $100, I'm sorry, for the $100 level,
the drone, I would say what? Five feet up in the air before it broke.
Well,
at least
he tried.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean,
but he used
right balls.
We can do better than that. I know people.
So, and he didn't like. He could have. It was all square and stuff, and he could have, you know,
unsquared.
Made it more. Yeah, aerodynamic is
right.
the word I was
going. As Doc just pointed out, Rox, he knows people.
You know,
Come up to Atlanta so we can make.
I would like to.
Your wife will let you go, right?
What's that, Rob?
I would have liked to have been there when Rox met the Wright brothers. You know, you could have done this better.
I can't believe you motherfuckers used balsa wood.
Yeah, goddamn, people.
Well, maybe it was confusing making the drone with the Pinewood Derby. I don't know.
I would like to see Rox at a Pinewood Derby.
Oh, my God.
No,
you know
just what? Light the fuse.
We used to do that. My dad was in charge of Pinewood Derbies, and it was interesting. No adult.
Was he a bookie?
No, I did tell you the story about my brother working for a bookie, though.
Of course.
My Not brother Terry, and Ted will bet this.
And by brother, she means her.
Terry worked for a hobby shop.
John, I almost choked on my beer, you
was
fucker.
Was a booking agency, and he was the cover. Yes. True story. The hobby store actually made money, and that was the wrong thing to do because dun, that dun, problem. Dun. Stuff, buying stuff. And they're like, no, what are you doing selling stuff? You're not supposed to sell stuff.
So it's kind of like North Korea.
Pretty much.
Oh. So Widge, what we could do is if they give the premium level, they can have Rox not spy on them. If they get $50, then Scott will spy on them uncomfortably.
Okay.
As opposed to uncomfortable Scott spying on them?
Well, no, they'll just open their bathroom one day and Scott will be in the shower, like, hello. And then, you know, one day he'll just be sitting on their porch. He'll show up at work. He'll be dressed like Thatcher.
Yes.
I'm being stalked by cross-dressing Thatcher.
You better make that the $100 stretch goal because those pocket.
Oh, my God.
You
know what? That could be the logo on the drone.
Wait a minute, Scott. I'd like to point out that when we say stretch goal, we actually mean it as opposed to the goal, not a goal in which you – never mind.
Why is it always cock with you?
That could be the logo on the drone.
Exactly.
Thank you, RoboMe.
You know what? Now that I don't have headphones, I can wear this lovely.
She's wearing her
Krispy
Kreme donuts
Krispy
hat that I got
hat.
For her earlier
yes,
this evening. Because if you go into a place and they're giving away hats that at one point Rox will be able to use to infiltrate their infrastructure and get free stuff, you better by God pick up one for her.
Oh really? My God. Yeah, you just walk in. I'm the inspector. where are the donuts?
Dear listeners, I wish this is the fun of actually having Rox here. It's like Rox vision, okay? You missed the part at which she leaned over and picked up her glass of Prosecco. I'm the inspector. I can see her walking into Krispy Kreme, drinking, to an inspection.
Oh my God, you're trying to kill me.
I'm 15 feet away. It's not possible. My psychic powers are gone.
That hurts. Prosecco hurts.
Prosecco hurts. Everybody hurts.
Let me pour sometimes. Some more.
Jesus Christ.
This is the best podcast ever. I don't have to deal with any of you.
Thanks, Rox.
She can't hear you. That's the point.
She can't hear you.
I can't hear
That's
a shit.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Hell, I should have done this earlier.
So,
that's
Widge,
the genius of me.
That is actually the genius
like,
of me.
Yeah. Looking for cables. I'm like, oh, just let them keep doing that. Oh, wait, hey, I don't like these. There you go.
That's Rox. It's like, I don't want to whitewash this fence. Oh, my God. What were you saying, Rob?
Well, I was going to say, if we want it to be an even better podcast, and because Doc hasn't been on in forever, maybe Scott should do the Rock Lobster.
Rock Lobster!
Boys in bikini. Girls in surfboard. Everybody's rocking.
You would keep missing, Doc.
I know. You can now leave us for another half year. Most of us are stuck.
well, we had Doc had written his part for someone else for tonight.
Oh my god! Oh my god! This is like a soap opera.
And Doc is Doc writing someone else tonight.
Himself out. He went up the stairs for 2 years, just like.
And now Santa, I'm back by a completely different actor.
Oh my god! Oh look, I came back down the stairs, right. And nothing has changed except who's this new guy with the shaggy hair?
Someone's
talking about his age.
Oh, hello, I am JJ. I am from, don't pronounce Oregon wrong.
There you go.
We have donuts.
It's got a goatee. It's an evil twin.
I don't have the goatee anymore. I have a rather shaggy beard.
Back up the stairs.
She's on Prosecco. I'm on an innocent gun. It's all good. It's all good. It's all happening.
Right. And your words can't hurt me because I can't hear them.
It's like some sort of weird Zen thing. She's just responding to the podcast. She can't even hear.
In fairness, we've been at this long enough. She can pretty much tell how it's going to go.
Now, for the moment. Oh
my
God. We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
Oh, sure. We'll do introductions. Why not?
Where is the mad Irishman these days?
Yeah, that's the robo Irishman.
He's going to Edinburgh.
I'm eating a donut. I don't care.
I talked to him earlier today. He's healthy.
Good.
Okay. Well, yeah. Is he actually going to be at the Edinburgh Fringe?
Yes.
He is. I saw that on Facebook.
What is he doing at the Edinburgh Fringe? I mean, is he going to be like sweeping up like last year? Or is he actually going to have a gig?
I don't know if I'm supposed to give his news, but it's cool.
Okay. Cool. All right, so we'll do introductions, and we'll do them starting now.
Gentlemen, welcome to Weekend Justice. First rule of Weekend Justice is you do not talk about the work week. Second rule of Weekend Justice is you do not talk about the work week. Third rule of Weekend Justice, someone stutters, forgets something, gets something wrong, you make fun of them. Fourth rule, everybody talks at the same time. Fifth rule, as many topics as possible at a time. Sixth rule, no shirts, no shoes, no pants, no nothing, just the mic, except for Scott. Seventh rule, the podcast will go on way longer than it has to. The eighth and final rule, if this is your first recording of Weekend Justice, you won't get away with it.
Swindle the promoter, took the lunatics for a ride, and a little voice inside my head said, Rosemary, baby, I got the time. Suffering madness and the Pharaoh's plague, I cannot tell you some other day. That's enough for me. A little bit of Ritalin goes a long way. Ready to rock if you wanna roll. Please step away from the vehicle. Ragnarok, a revolutionist. Give me just a minute while I clarify. Cool down my temper. I try to remember what it was I wasn't to lose. And I probably.
Weekend Justice, the Weekend Justice Podcast here on eatcoffee.com. The number one audio internet train wreck.
Number one.
That's we're here in the hall of Weekend Justice, the Weekend Justice League. I will endeavor to introduce them, going from my right to your left. We have JJ is with us. Hello, JJ.
Hello.
I am left.
What?
I am your left.
From my right to your left. My right is over here.
All right.
See where I'm, see listeners where I'm waving my hand? That's my right.
That's
this
radio.
Is the worst. So you can this have, is the you worst can... Dick Van Dyke episode ever.
I know. This is like the Odd Couple in hell. We also have Doc Essence with us at last. Doc, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, Yeah, I don't. I got nothing.
We have Scott Sands with us. Hi, Scott.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. We also have coming live from wherever he is, Rob. Hi, Rob.
Don't touch. Just never mind.
Was that advice for Scott?
I'll touch whatever I want.
Yes. Yes, it was. And then yeah.
And then, of course, we have Rox's Spaz House sipping some Prosecco. What's up, Rox?
I would like to wear your skin like a coat.
What, you don't already?
Oh. That's fantastic. Thank you, Charlie Brooker. And we've got from John from the Unique Geek. Hi, John. What's up?
Ladies.
This should get us to Parsec.
Oh, we're totally getting to Parsec now. Oh. Jesus Christ.
Only if I can make the acceptance speech from a comfy chair.
You can speaking
of Jesus Christ, why is Lisa Gerrard doing the music for the Son of God movie?
Oh, no! Can we please have... Okay, I'll write a pass for Willem Dafoe, but can we actually get a Jesus that looks like Jesus probably would have looked like? It's like everyone in this
film
looks like they're from the region, except Jesus, because it's like we can't deal with a slightly ethnic Jesus.
But Jesus is homeless.
He
needs to have sort of, you know, he needs to look shambly and stuff. Jesus needs to look like homeless
people.
Yeah.
He did invent the fist bump.
Wait, Jesus invented the fist bump?
Yes.
Well, you know.
Is that how he brought Lazarus back?
Oh, no, yes. No, little girl. This is totally different. I don't hear them. Yeah, sure, it's good. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, sure.
Have your own conversation.
I can't hear them. This is just a live mic. I'm talking to our floor walker, just so you know. And she thinks everything's good. Yeah, we're going to get a Parsec for this one.
Yeah, we're totally going to crush Welcome to Night Vale.
Yes.
But then again, who knows when I'll be able to stay here for any extended period at Techno Cave next time. I don't know.
Well, you're staying in the attached compound. The Techno Cave is only for podcasting and other
work. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
Like this? Is this close enough to the mic?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Fantastic. I've got it in my hand now, so I can walk around like basically doing karaoke. I get no kick.
Oh, here, I got
champagne. What?
So it's like Fun Fest, but not
But
visual.
Actually, even more organized.
You're right, I got a karaoke tune for you. Here you go.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Wait, is that actually an instrumental version?
Yes, sir, it is.
You found a karaoke version of the Gem theme song? You dirty
it's
bastard.
Totally outrageous.
I'm impressed.
All right, make it. Oh, it's truly, truly outrageous.
Truly, truly, truly outrageous. Is that just the Danger Woman version without the vocals?
Wow. That ain't right.
No.
Hey, at least we got a shtick for Scott for this year's Fun Fest.
Hell no.
Jim.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
I already have a shtick. That's all John. If he wants to sing it, he can go right ahead.
Yeah, but we've decided your shtick's not playing with the key demographic.
And Doc has those rights. He has
and
those numbers.
That's not really working for you.
Okay, I want to see that data if that's true.
You can't.
I'm pretty sure I can swing that, yeah.
Scott, unfortunately, it's in Latin.
Doc knows people.
Oh, shit.
Exactly.
So what, it's all in Roman numerals?
I've missed them.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, we got crickets. I thought
Wow. Scott.
No crickets in the walls. That would have been the worst Lovecraft story ever. The crickets in the walls.
Boring.
I know.
They would just keep everybody awake, though.
He would use Captain Norris for fish bait. That's what it would be. But that would be more Innsmouth than anything else.
Oh, when you wish upon the stars, right? What?
Yeah,
yes.
That's true. That's what we need. The we need Walt Disney's at the Mountains of Madness.
Oh my God! With concept art by Goya.
Yes, with concept art by Goya.
But not the Goya that Rox and I came across in mines in Germany.
That's true.
We don't know anything about those.
No. I was telling Rox, I didn't get the joke in the episode of The Blacklist where they showed a painting that had been stolen from
the gardener.
From the Gardner Library in Boston. Only after I saw the documentary about the theft of the paintings in the Gardner Library in Boston did I get the joke. But thank you, Blacklist, for your art jokes.
Yes, indeed. I caught it first.
Of course you did, Rox.
I caught that, too. It was pretty funny.
Oh, Dana.
Which, how is it possible we've gone this far and even had the last podcast while talking about The Walking Dead?
You know, I have no idea. I have not seen the most recent episode.
Neither have I.
But yeah, I'm caught up through that. But we certainly can.
I was just wondering how it happened.
You what?
I was just wondering how that happened.
Who knows? I'm just happy. I'm very happy with the. Oh yes, I've been meaning to say this. Okay, because is everyone who cares to caught up on Walking Dead?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. Then I will say this. I have seen The Dead, which is a film shot in Africa with all locals playing the zombies. Is one of the most nerve-wracking zombie films you'll ever see, because being a zombie apocalypse in Africa, certain parts of Africa, where there's nothing for miles, not even a tree to climb up, that will fuck with your shit. Because no, don't stop! No, don't! What are you doing? Don't sit down and rest! They're coming! Fuck! Ah! That's basically the entire film. I've discovered something. What?
I was going to say, please tell me that Bob Geldof is a zombie.
Oh, that would be great, though. That's in the cutscenes on the Blu-ray.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Even more nerve-wracking than that is a baby crying in the middle of the woods.
In the ghetto?
There's fucking zombies everywhere. Is it just me?
No, that's pretty scary.
I was losing my fuck. I was like, this is the most unbelievably nerve-wracking diaper change I've ever seen in my fucking life, and I say that without a trace of humor. Because I was like, what do you do? What do you do? Now, granted, they sort of went series finale of MASH for a second there, which was creepy as fuck, but holy shit. I'm like, oh my God, Tyrese has got two young girls and a baby. Fucking hell. I just want to get Chad Coleman, the actor, and say, let me buy you beers, please. Because I can't buy Tyrese beers because he doesn't actually exist. So you're the next best thing. You get beers.
I thought they were going to make a sitcom out of it, like a little spinoff.
You know what? I was anticipating. Do you remember the family that left in like season one? The Hispanic family that was like, we have family in Alabama, we're going to try to make it to the border or something.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were going to be the spinoff. I think a family sitcom in the Ed universe would be great.
Oh, my God, Brady Bunch. A zombie Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch, but with...
But Alice would be the same.
Yes, exactly. And zombified.
Oh, my God. Alice B. Davis.
But I was
zombie.
No, I'd keep her not a zombie. Keep it straight with her, but everybody else is a zombie.
Everybody else is a zombie, but she's not? That makes sense.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Sam the Butcher is a zombie.
Well, Sam the Butcher would be like the zombie killer because he'd have all the shit in the house.
Well, no, the first two episodes I've been very happy with because they kept you guessing. That first of all, they've changed it all up so that you've got, I mean, apart from Rick and Carl and now Michonne, they've sort of changed up who everybody's with, which gives you a different dynamic. And they've
who's with Mr. Brady?
George Jetson.
Okay.
George Jetson.
But no, I like the fact that you didn't know what the hell was happening with different people. I like that you didn't know what was happening with, like, Judith. At first, you didn't know where Tyrese was, and then you didn't know where Judith was, and then Tyrese turns around, and you're like, oh, there it is. Although I'm waiting for the cosplay at Dragon Con with people walking around with basically bloody car seats. That's an easy Walking Dead Judith cosplay right there. Get a little morbid, but that's what we do. So, I mean, what does everybody else think? Is everyone else pleased, happy?
I've liked how they switched up the narrative of it. Like, every episode, they're sort of changing the way they tell the story.
Right.
Which I think is really clever, as it managed to keep it fresh this far along. Not that they didn't need to, but yeah, I think you're right. And separating the people the way they did was great. And, oh God, I'm blanking on her name, but she's doing sort of like she's reading it from her diary.
Yes.
That is, I really like that. I thought that was really clever. And the whole way that they've sort of shaped that angle, I've really liked.
Well, and that, you know, by the end of the episode, she's burning the pieces of her diary to keep the fire going. I mean, it's just like, wow.
Both metaphorically and physically.
Yes.
Literally, I guess.
Yes. And now we've got, I'm wondering about this whole Terminus plot line and the fact that we've now got Abraham and company on board. So.
Terminus, what's that? the thing from Iron Man 3?
No. Wait a minute.
From Iron Man 3 and then Abraham Simpson in a zombie apocalypse.
Exactly. It's taking a definite turn.
There's also a Terminus in Doctor Who, but it's really terrible when we forget about it.
Well, I mean, Terminus was, I believe, what Atlanta was originally named because it was the terminal spot for the railway.
Place where all rail service terminates.
Exactly. Exactly, Doc. All things serve the beam. but no, I'm wondering if they're going to change it so that, because in the comic at this point, they're on their way to DC. And I'm wondering if they're going to change that by being on their way to Terminus, because I don't know they necessarily want to change their shooting location because they're sort of entrenched here.
And they're part of the economy there. It would kind of be a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, there is that. But the other thing though is I am 5 episodes into House of Cards. Which, has anybody started watching season 2 of that?
I've got 2.
Rox is 2 episodes in.
Oh my gosh, and they got the best product placement ever.
Yes. Rox is very pleased.
Oh my gosh.
Shall I tell them about the product placement, Rox?
Yes, you may.
Track phones.
Track phone. Big green box.
Yep. Yeah, it's as big as life and twice as green.
That's right. No, you know, the cool thing is he just slid it over to him. That was the cool part.
As opposed to firing it from a catapult like
right.
One normally
it's
does.
Like, or handing it over like full frontal view. Here you go, it's a track phone. No, it's that big, lovely green box. Number one phone. Nice. All drug dealers. Thank you very much.
Indeed. So
I need to see that then, huh?
Oh yeah. I'm really enjoying the second season.
Okay.
I enjoyed the first season. The thing about it is, what's amazing is that as good as Kevin Spacey is in it, Robin Wright is totally rocking that show.
Yes, she is. So she should.
So that's another one to watch.
And now, I think I might be alone in this, but I'm excited about the Americans coming back.
The who?
The Americans. It's on FX.
Oh, yeah, yeah. During,
yeah.
Not familiar with the show. I was like, wait a minute. Well, we're... Last time I checked, I mean, the Irishman's not on, so we're technically all Americans here.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Bowie's saying about the Young Americans. I don't know. Maybe that's a spinoff.
Is that the one with Kerry Russell?
Yes.
Okay. I've heard that it was a good show, but not having cable, I have not seen it.
Yeah, that's really good. And then The Bridge is also good, too.
Now, The Bridge is what they basically turned into the tunnel in the UK, right?
Yes.
Like that? Okay.
But The Bridge is based on a thing called Braun, so everybody keeps borrowing.
No, that makes sense. So,
but I will watch House of Cards though.
You should.
You recommend it? Okay.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Now, is Don Cheadle in that too?
No, you're thinking of House of Lives.
House of Lives. Okay, that's why I was getting confused. Okay.
What about House of Snakes?
House of Snakes is coming out next year. It's in parcel tongue, but it's subtitled.
Okay. It's been on the shelf for 3 years.
It has been, like the snakes. So, well, and of course, you guys saw the Ghostbusters firehouse on the memorial that somebody put up to.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Yeah.
That was one of those, it's weird how, you know, sometimes a celebrity death will just hit you. You know, and you're, yeah. Oh, no, that one just really sucks. And the Harold Ramis one,
it
just got me. I mean, I don't know why. I never met the man, but it just was like, oh, that he was really talented and just way too young to have gone. It just made me really sad.
Well, I mean, there's so many comedy movies that we grew up with that are his, right? I mean, like Animal House, Caddyshack, Stripes.
Stripes, yes.
Yeah, Meatballs. Ghostbusters. Yeah. Well, I like the...
Analyze this. Analyze yes. that.
Well, I did like the... John Landis told the story about when he came on board to rewrite Animal House. Did you guys...
Yeah.
It was really cool because basically Harold, for our listeners who haven't read it, Harold Ramis was pissed that he didn't get the role of Boone, which is what he sort of wrote the role for himself. And, but Landis's point was that Ramis was basically too old, and he did invite everybody to come over and have small parts in the film, including Stork apparently was one of the co-writers. But it was only Ramis was really pissed about this until he directed and his first film was Caddyshack, right?
Yeah.
So he directed really Caddyshack and then basically came back to Landis and said, yeah, now that I've directed my first film, I totally get where you were coming from and I'm not pissed anymore. So how cool to actually be able to come back and go, oh, I get it. But
yeah.
And
my girlfriend and I were talking about the fact that one thing that Stripes does that's kind of amazing is that Stripes gets over that horrible sequel, how comedies always have bad sequels, by just going ahead and putting the sequel in the damn film.
What you mean the European whole, adventure?
Yeah, that whole foreign mission doesn't really need to be in the film. I mean, you've got the triumphant comedy ending when they get through boot camp, and that's where most films would end. But Stripes just goes, yeah, fuck it, let's make our sequel right now.
I hadn't thought of that. True. I actually love the I love the second half. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, well,
it's
I do too.
It's a very war movie thing to do, which I thought was. I mean, it's clever. They're playing with the tropes. It's all the war movies have basic training, and then you get deployed. I mean, that's Full Metal Jacket. That's Platoon. You name it. So if you're going to do a war movie, even a funny war movie, you got to go to boot camp first, and then you got to do the rest of it. All of those movies feel like two movies when you sit down and you know watch them through like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like Biloxi Blues, right?
Yes.
That movie didn't even feel like one movie, much less two.
It works as a play.
Oh, it works wonderfully as a play.
That's
and
what we need.
It was shot in Mississippi, so that kind of made me happy, because most movies that are shot, that take place in Mississippi, were not shot there. They're shot, I think it was Heat of the Night, which is a series that took place in Mississippi, and it was shot in Georgia.
I think that's true, yeah.
Because Mississippi didn't look Mississippi enough for them?
They could have been concerned about, you know, the actors.
There is that, but yeah, I think what we need is we need Stripes the musical.
Yeah,
done properly. That get the guys behind the producers to do that. That would be great.
Or the people that are behind Avenue Q and Book of Mormon and Frozen.
Yeah, well, there's that too. Although I think they're going to be a little busy doing Disney musicals for the foreseeable future.
I hope they get to do something off color again. Their off color stuff's brilliant.
Oh, I don't think you'll be able to stop them. I think they'll be like, hey, guess what? We just got funded. These fools.
We need that NPR money. We
totally do. Speaking of which, we did Rox and I did watch the first episode of True Detective.
God, that was amazing. On the request of one of my former clients of the National Society of the Colonial Dames, because she saw a mention, a reference to the King in Yellow as a Cthulhu reference. So she's like, I think you need to watch this.
Yeah. Yeah, the first episode was pretty damn amazing. This apparently is Matthew McConaughey's year. He's been building up to it, but this is sort of his year, apparently.
The term that people are using for McConaughey right now that I love is the McConaissance.
The McConaissance!
That we are in the middle of the McConaissance right now.
Apparently so, damn. Oh, speaking of which, because Rob mentioned, we got the Oscars coming up. Does anyone care or want to make any judgment calls on what we might see?
I mean, I care because I always care, but not...
You care a lot, right?
Yes.
We did that already.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I got a page from last week's. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's all right.
But, you know, I would like to see Chiwetel win something just because Chiwetel always deserves to win something, but he's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I care more than most people. I care more than most people should, which is horrible.
Well, so. they sort of broke me when they decided to expand Best Picture to.
Yeah, that's going to 9 or 10 just sucks.
Yeah. It's like, well, the whole point was it was supposed to mean something to get nominated, but now it's like everyone gets a trophy. It's like, oh, fuck's sake.
Although this year,
it's perfect.
This year, doing 9 films, they have 9 films that all under some form of a year could actually see winning. It's not like they're reaching, you know, for in the last couple of years, they've reached to do 10.
Right.
And this year they've got 9 really at least solid films.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking it's either 12 Years a Slave or Gravity. I'm thinking.
There's been a lot of buzz for American Hustle. I would kind of like for it to be 12 Years a Slave.
I think American Hustle is going to win just because of the buzz it's getting.
Well,
yeah.
There's also the theory that 12 Years a Slave and Gravity will split the vote in.
True.
Well,
give American.
Yeah, I've heard that, but they also think that 12 Years a Slave is this year's Lincoln, in that it dragged a bit for some people, and some people thought the performances were great, but the movie wasn't everything they wanted it to be. And I'm like, come on, guys, really?
Nothing I have seen this year stayed with me that much. I mean, I know this is kind of a silly thing
except
to say,
Lego movie.
But like as a as a podcaster, my girlfriend and I saw 12 Years a Slave and then recorded a podcast that we were in such a down place after seeing it that we ended up scrapping what we recorded because it was like, man, did we just it was basically an hour of white guilt.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I haven't, and so anytime a film affects me like that, it's hard for me to say that it doesn't deserve awards.
I know. But, I mean, it sort of hits you the same way Schindler's List did. When you saw it, we were like, okay, I've been pulverized for over 2 hours, and I moved, but I'm done with this. I can put it away now, move on to something else. And then the something else you move on to is American Hustle, which is just all around. You know, and it's something everyone can relate to in a way that's not uncomfortable, like 12 Years a Slave was.
Yeah, and it's got Batman with stupid hair.
Well, that's what I'm looking for.
But yeah, I think you're right. I do want Chewin to win. I got a weird feeling about McConaughey, but yeah. Although in a perfect year, if it wasn't for Chewin in it, I would root for Bruce Dern. In any other year.
Well, now has he won before?
No.
Well, there is the It's Your Time Award.
Yeah,
he's up for supporting actor, isn't he?
No, he's up for best actor.
He's up for best.
Yeah, see,
yeah, they're all dogfights this year.
Yeah, my whole thing is I don't necessarily when I make a prediction, I'm not predicting who I want to win. I'm just saying here's who I think might win based on how I know.
Yeah. And that's
politics
my rule. Yeah.
Because I think at this point, it's like, what was it? Isn't it best actress that, like, Isn't it Amy Adams the only person who hasn't won before?
That's right, and I think she's a slam dunk.
I thought she got it for that fighting one.
For which one? The fighter?
Boxing one, didn't she?
I think she was nominated.
Oh.
But yeah, I think there's one who has not won before, and I'm pretty sure it's Amy Adams.
She has not ever won, no.
Yep, no, that's right.
In a year where she's still recovering from Man of Steel, I don't think that's even fair.
Oh, wow. JJ, to be fair, we're all recovering from Man of Steel, okay?
Yeah, but she's partly responsible.
I don't think it was her fault.
She's actually one of the better Lois Lanes I've ever seen on film. So, yeah, it's not her fault.
No, anymore. Like, you can't go blame Michael Shannon, first of all, because he was excellent, and number two, because he's scary as fuck, and I wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
But anyway.
He'll stomp all over you. He's like crazy big.
He's crazy. He can stomp you. But no, I think, I don't know. I think American Hustle might pull it out, but I'm like, to me, you've got either 12 Years a Slave, which is the emotional win, or the money win, which is Gravity.
Right. And also, I thought Dallas Buyers Club was a really good film. I mean, I had a half brother that went through HIV through that era, and it was very effective for me.
Yeah, it was effective for me in the same way, and I think Leto's going to win for that.
Yeah,
I
think he's a slam dunk. But I think that if McConaughey wins, it's because he did that and Mud in the same year, and I think he's in American Hustle.
And he's in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah.
Now, wasn't Mud last year? I mean, as in 2012.
Mud was early this year. Early 2013.
Okay.
But
let me tell you, we were talking about the fact that he is, as much as I like Woody Harrelson, just based on the first episode of True Detective, McConaughey is fucking amazing.
God, I can watch my man smoke cigarettes all night long.
You heard it here first, folks. So here's a question. Does anyone think that Frozen is not going to win Best Animated Feature?
What was playing last?
The also nominated is The Croods, which
not gonna
I understand.
Win.
Well, I didn't even see it because the art just looks so awful. Despicable Me 2, Ernest and Celestine, which I don't even know what that is. And The Wind Rises, which isn't The Wind Rises the last Miyazaki film?
That's the thing.
Yes.
That's what could keep Frozen.
And it's actually really, really, it's actually really good.
But see, guys, here again, I would love for – this is one of those situations in which – because has Miyazaki won?
No.
Which you know, is a
which
fucking...
he should have won for Princess Mononoke.
Oh, fuck.
And that
yes,
was the,
he should have won
was,
for Princess Mononoke.
That was the year that – it was after that. That they created the
best animated feature
yeah. because
right,
that went up for best foreign film.
That's true.
In general,
that's absolutely right.
And it lost.
Yeah.
Oh my God! It lost to Life Is Beautiful, right?
Oh God!
No, what did it lose to?
No, really? Hang on, I'll look that up.
I don't know.
Because Life Is Beautiful, I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see where that would kick anybody's ass because Life Is Beautiful was my favorite movie of that year.
Miyazaki won for Spirited Away, didn't he?
He was nominated, and
I think he won.
Okay, I'm looking. Hang on. I'm looking. Scrolling. Oh my God! Just what? Help! Okay, here we go. I finally found the right thing. Okay, one. Let's see. Spirited Away. That's the Oscars.
Yeah.
2003.
Oh, he won for Spirited Away. Okay.
Did he? Oh, okay.
Which I'm like, to me, since I didn't like Spirited Away that much,
It was a makeup call.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It just, to me, I was like, Spirited Away, I liked Howl's Moving Castle, but in Spirited Away.
Really?
I love Howl's Moving Castle.
But
yeah,
you get nominated for that one too.
But I will say, what I like even better than Princess Mononoke because I fucking love Princess Mononoke.
Oh, yeah.
I will never forget when I was in San Diego when they were rolling out Princess Mononoke, and I passed by the Miramax booth, and because I knew that Neil had done the translation, and I saw the bit of the trailer in which I forget the name of the character, the one that Minnie Driver voiced in the English version, said the line, "Pay attention, everyone. I'm going to show you how to kill a god." And I went, yeah, that's Neil. That's totally Neil.
No, the best Miyazaki film is the weird raccoons with the magical testicles.
Really? No, for me, it's I love My Neighbor Totoro.
Oh, yeah.
The reason that is my favorite is because it is one of the best animated children's films I have ever seen, in that I cannot tell you how refreshing it was. And because this is in the culture, this is in the Japanese culture, is that when the kids are like, "Oh, hey, we saw this towering forest spirit," and the dad's like, "Oh, that's awesome," you know, it's like,
yeah,
it's not like, "Oh, you're crazy," or "Oh, we have to lock you up," you're, or "Oh, kids, we need to put you on Adderall." It's like, "Well, how cool is that?" And I was like, "How delightful!"
Yeah,
what a nice change of pace. But but I fucking love me some Princess Mononoke. I will never forget. I went to the plaza here in Atlanta when it was supposed to open, and Miramax had not managed to get the film here. You had people who had driven like 14 hours one way to come see it.
Wow.
Because remember, this was before.
Before anything.
Well, before anything, but also before you had like people like John Lasseter
at
Disney.
There was a time when movies were flip books.
Well, yeah, it was before John Lasseter brought Disney on board and said, "You will now distribute Miyazaki because you must, or I will burn you to the ground,"
right,
which I think is what he said. I think that's a direct quote. But people couldn't have been arsed to get the fucking print of the film there. And this was in like 98. I couldn't believe it. I was pissed because I was like, "God damn it. If there's ever a film, a type of film that needs help, It's animation that's not American." And remember, this is before, because without Miyazaki and then without Pixar, you don't get How to Train Your Dragon.
No.
You don't get Frozen. You don't get anything. I mean, you get the same pap that they gave us for like most of the 90s. You know?
We get pap. Yeah.
So, but I don't know. So there is that. If he had never won an Oscar, I would have been like, maybe, but I'm thinking they're probably going to go with Frozen.
Well, you never know, because like when De Niro won,
yeah,
you know, he hadn't won in like 10 or 15 years, and they gave him one. They like to do that, space them out if somebody hasn't won. They like to do that sometimes. But it's, again, we're dealing with a system where three 6 Mafia has more Academy Awards than Peter O'Toole. So all bets are off.
Eminem has more Oscars than Hitchcock.
Yes.
Although, can I just say that year I was so fucking happy Eminem won because the other songs just were not so that terrible. Good. I was
the 3-6 Mafia song too. So
well, there you go. I mean, but yeah, so it's just it's.
I'm not saying those guys don't deserve to win. I'm just saying.
No, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. And oh, by the way, on the subject of Frozen, let me just say that I am very happy. I was reading where Disney's, they've finally gotten wise to the whole online thing, amazingly enough. And all of these various covers of Frozen songs and like people posting their own versions of videos and they're basically giving it hands off. They're not going after anybody. They're
I
know. Because, I mean, remember, this is the company that sent a cease and desist, if not sued, a woman for putting a handmade Mickey Mouse onto a bulletin board in an elementary school classroom. So the fact that they've finally gotten wise to, hey, we have this rabid fan base, why don't we just let them do their thing, is fucking amazing. And again, I think part of the Pixar influence.
Yeah.
So again, as much as it saddens me to see Pixar's star fade, if that brings us back a Disney that will actually do good shit, then you know what? I'm fine with Toy Story 3 being their swan song, partly because it was so fucking amazing.
I was surprised. I recently saw Monsters U. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would.
let's reboot the internet. I guess in the meantime, you guys can enjoy this. The internet's back now.
Oh, good.
My internet just went away. It just disappeared.
The complete doom of the internet. So, okay. So I was looking up an example of something that I thought was that was good type of movie. Whereas I'm trying to find one here. Okay. Yeah. Like Princess and the Frog. That's spectacular. But it was okay. So my question was Monsters U like Pixar good or was it just decent Disney good?
I liked it more than Princess and the Frog.
Okay.
It was decent.
Okay. Is it on the quality of WALL-E and Up and Toy Story 3? No. Is it closer to early Pixar? Like, is it close to Monsters, Inc.? Yeah, it's probably pretty close to Monsters, Inc.
Really? Because I really enjoyed Monsters, Inc.
Oh, I love that.
It wasn't as sweet as Monsters, Inc. was, but...
That's true.
Because, like...
It was not what I was expecting. I was expecting a little bit more... of a, we're making an unnecessary sequel. And it was a fairly decent college flick that just so happened to have monsters in it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How would you rank it against something like, say, Brave?
I think I liked Brave more than most people.
I like Brave.
I thought Brave was fun. I thought Brave was actually a pretty good story. It's hard. It's aesthetically, there's such a completely different film. I would say that I would rate it closer to a child's version of Revenge of the Nerds.
Ah, very good.
Huh.
Take away all the nudity and everything from Revenge of the Nerds, and it's probably a lot closer to that.
Right.
So you got like about what, 20 minutes of a movie?
Yeah.
It's obvious that's exactly what they were going for with Monsters U. So it was okay movie. I mean, it wasn't horrible.
I didn't regret the $2 I rented it for.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That was not good English at all, but I'll take it.
That's okay. You're allowed. There's enough people with English degrees on this call. We'll give you a pass.
Me talk pretty one day.
Oh my god. So yeah, I but all that to say, I think Frozen is definitely probably gonna take it. I would love to see Miyazaki take it just because Miyazaki. I have not seen The Wind Rises yet, but they love money. People like money. People don't understand foreign films.
No, it's all foreign to them.
Yes, it is.
The only thing that might help it is that the animation Oscar is going to go out from, it's voted on by animators. So,
well, now I thought the nominations were done by your peers, but the voting was done by everybody.
Maybe I could be wrong.
Well,
I thought only like the big categories for everybody.
I thought like the costume designer. You nominated your peers, which is why, as I've said before, with the Oscars, when they say, "Oh, it's an honor just to be nominated," it really is, because that's basically your peers saying, "Hey, of all of us, you're the top five."
Or 10.
Except for Best Picture, which is meaningless.
or 17, or yeah. You all did a good job. Here's a participation trophy.
Exactly. Here's your participation trophy and a cookie.
I'm allergic to nuts. Are they gluten-free?
Personally, I'm waiting for the Best Extras Awards.
Best Extras. You see Grown Ups 2 is getting the Razzie?
Nice. Oh, is it? Have they announced the Razzies?
Well, it has like the most nominations. Like every single actor was nominated.
Wow. The movie.
I did not see that, but there's a reason.
Yeah.
Even I have limits.
We should actually make you go to those movies.
Okay. Hands up. Who saw Sex and the City 2? Exactly. Fuck you all.
Hey, my hand is not up. I mean, up. I mean, wait, no.
Exactly.
You did see Up.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's all right, because everyone should see Up. Probably just once, because it'll fucking kill you, but it's amazing. Yeah, you know what, though? Out of all of that, I would say, sadly, having seen both After Earth and The Lone Ranger, I would say probably The Lone Ranger needs to get Worst Picture. And okay. All right, lay off of Jaden Smith in After Earth, okay? It's not his fault. It's not his fault.
If it would have been any other kid but him, they would have laid off on him.
I know. But it's like, it wasn't his fault. Except Johnny Depp, though. I mean, sadly, Johnny Depp was the best part of The Lone Ranger, if you can say there was the best part.
Oh, I don't know.
See, that's what bugs me, is I would have said, I would have nominated Armie Hammer for The Lone Ranger rather than Depp, because he was worse.
Now, The Lone Ranger is a less interesting character than Tonto for the most part.
Well,
can
yes.
We just not talk about this film anymore so I don't have mom-like flashback?
Oh, my God. Well, I didn't see Machete Kills. Lady Gaga in Machete Kills as third face of El Chameleon. That's a fantastic... That's a ska band, is what that is.
So that sounds like my extras Oscar that I wanted.
The third face of El Chameleon. That's my ska band. That's totally going to be there.
Oh, A Medea Christmas was also nominated, along with Movie 43, which Netflix keeps insisting that I want to watch, but I do not.
Oh, fantastic. The worst screen combo, Jaden Smith and Will Smith on Planet Nepotism in After Earth.
But Jaden Smith, at this point, kind of has earned his film career.
Okay.
Yeah, because the Karate
that's
Kid.
That's a sort of Damocles statement right there, my friend.
Well, okay, he may have gotten in, you know, through his father, but Pursuit of Happiness, he was fine in that. He was young. Yeah, and I'd say he was actually good in The Karate Kid, a remake that I didn't think had a chance in hell of being decent, but I thought he was okay. Sigh all you want. I'm going to stand by my position.
It's okay.
I mean, when you think about it, too, I mean, Ralph Macchio wasn't that great in The Karate Kid.
No, but Pat Morita was, which makes the whole thing.
Yeah, but Jackie Chan also was quite good.
Well,
Jaden Smith was actually a kid, whereas opposed to Ralph Macchio being the karate man.
Did you look at
the karate well, Jackie 20 Chan's, something?
Jackie Chan's no Victor Wong, I'll tell you that much.
In the worst actress category, Tyler Perry in Medea Christmas.
Nice.
At this point, I think all of Tyler Perry movies should just be removed from Razzie consideration.
Yeah. Why? Because he's won too many?
It's just totally unfair. I mean, it's a given. Tyler Perry made a movie. It sucks.
Now, to be fair, he was great in Star Trek.
He had three lines.
That's what I'm saying. He was great
exactly. In Star Trek.
That's the limit for Tyler Perry talking in film.
Yes.
Yeah, although, what was it? Did anyone actually see the, what was the thriller that he did?
Oh, the...
Oh, Alex Cross?
Yeah.
Yeah, the I'm Not Morgan Freeman movie?
Yeah, like, we didn't need you to tell us that. Pretty obvious you're not. Wow.
Yeah. I have friends that saw that were, like, excited to see it, and they went to the theater, and they got all the way there, and they saw the poster and said, oh, wait, that's not Idris Elba, and they went and saw something else.
Thor Dark World?
Or anything with
Idris
Elba Dark World?
Alex Cross.
Not anything with Idris Elba. Come on. Ghost Rider, Spears of Vengeance? No, thank you.
Okay, true enough. But he tried, okay?
All right, in two sentences, what did I miss?
In two sentences, Rox, you missed that we were talking about both the Oscars and the Razzies.
Oh, all right. Who's up for the Razzies?
Some of the same
people that are up for the Oscars.
No, that's good. It's good.
As Doc points out, some of the same people. So we're having a cross, sort of like a Venn diagram of a conversation.
It's fine.
We do well, I might add.
Yes, we do. So my question is, should we now stumble somewhat drunkenly? Although I had an entire bomber of Innocent Gun, and I feel fine.
I walked down those danger stairs.
That's true. Rox walked down stairs that even she would be like, are these going to collapse and send me into a pit with vipers? And she did it anyway. But Rox
knows that like a Kenny? Is there like a Kenny Rogers theme for that, like Highway to the Danger Stairs or anything?
Did you say Kenny Rogers?
Yeah, I know.
That's a whole lot different song than the Kenny Loggins one.
Oh, I want to hear Kenny Rogers do Kenny Loggins music so bad.
No, I miss Kenny Loggins. Right there.
I actually kind of want to hear Kenny Loggins do some Kenny Rogers music, too.
You know what? That needs to be Kenny Rogers sings Kenny Loggins and Kenny Loggins sings Kenny Rogers. I think... Can we
call Rogers Kenny Loggins not singing would be better.
I'll totally take Rogers and Messina.
Wow. We're giving Rob an aneurysm.
Okay.
Can Kenny Loggins sing Islands in the Stream?
Sure.
We have to find somebody comparable to Dolly Parton.
Amanda Palmer.
Yes, Rob. Brilliant. Done.
With Kenny Rogers. You know how great that would be? That would actually work.
There you go.
Actually, Trent Reznor and Amanda Palmer doing Islands in the Stream.
Or Wayne Coyne.
Oh, yes!
Somebody won the internet.
No, Wayne Coyne and St. Vincent. Doing
Oh, no. Did you say David Byrne and St. Vincent? St. Vincent?
No, I said Wayne Coyne and Wayne Coyne and St. Vincent.
I'd almost want to hear David Byrne and St. Vincent doing it. Let's just do an entire album of covers of Islands in the Stream.
Oh.
Versions you never thought you would hear.
Islands in the Streams and such.
Drink some Prosecco. Blah, 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 time.
But you know that you're really trying to fill the album when you also get down to like Dusty Springfield and Peter Noon.
Well, the next year it could be all covers of Endless Love.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Who do you get to cover Endless Love?
I think at this point the internet train wreck audio has thrown me out of the car.
Janelle Monáe and Morris Day.
Well, okay.
Oh, I would pay good money to hear that.
There you go. I like that.
You can't really beat the Electric Lady and Morris motherfucking Day in the time.
Doing anything.
That would be the weirdest goddamn thing ever, and people would line up for days.
Yes.
I can't wait for this concept album. Can we kickstart this? Can we... Is this within our jurisdiction?
I'm pretty sure more is in
my hair, right?
There you go. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Well, should we? Before we break more of our minds thinking of crazy duets, should we mosey into the realm of recommendations?
Okay.
I think Rox is ready because she just poured herself another glass. Rox, would you like to begin and recommend your Prosecco?
Okay, I am. And it's Jack Vall, Brut, Blanc de Blanc. It is a Prosecco. It is produced in France. And it is a Brut. And it's actually good. You can't have any.
I wasn't asking for any.
I needed to cut that before you thought
of
it.
Okay, I don't drink Prosecco, but thank you. I like it, Sherbert.
Wow.
There you go.
I'm done.
Ding.
That's ding. Jesus.
You can't hear it, so who cares?
I know. It's too good. We'll just ding.
Just pretend right, like you dinged.
We're going to win a Parsec, kids.
Who wants to go next?
I don't really have anything, so I'll get it out of the way.
All right, go, JJ.
I have had very.
Hey, that's my shtick.
I've had a very busy week, but I did spend my income tax return and bought an iPad. Excuse me. I'm enjoying it a great deal. The Comicology app is awesome. I'm reading a lot of comics. So there you go. Buy an iPad.
I would not argue with that.
So I think they misunderstand the demographic that listens to us. But
I don't have an iPad.
I do.
But that's only because, you know, I like my information to be kept to myself.
Yeah.
Ooh, Apple. Ooh.
I already downloaded the patch for that.
What?
There was a big security breach.
Yeah, it's a big hole in Apple's operating systems, and they've known about it for a while, but they've chosen not to say anything about it until they quietly released a patch, and then everyone found out what the hell was going on.
Oh, so basically they're acting like every other company then.
Yep.
It's got a whole bunch of people running back to the much more secure environment of Microsoft. I'm sorry, I couldn't even get through that whole sentence.
Oh, it's funny because it's true. Oh, my God. All right. Thank you, JJ. Who's next?
I'll take a crack at it, sure.
Go, Doc!
It's not exactly a new release, but it's, I guess, last year. Christopher Moore, who we've talked about in the past, Sacre Bleu, his novel about Renoir and Van Gogh and that entire art scene, and a supernatural woman who may be the embodiment of a color that is responsible for Van Gogh actually being murdered in a field. He didn't commit suicide.
So this sounds like typical Christopher Moore, then.
Yes.
I'm not
yes.
saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying this. You've said nothing that really startles me at this point.
Novel, as opposed to a crime noir novel.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's really enjoyable and a nice filler for me since the sequel to his fantastic book Fool is due out in a couple of months, which is called The Serpent of Venice and promises to be pretty entertaining. If you haven't read Fool, make sure you do that too.
Cool. All right, is that it?
That's it, and I'm out, guys. It's been fun to be back. I will hopefully see you sooner than 6 months from now.
Fantastic. All right, thanks, Doc. Doc was checking to make sure we weren't fucking up a script. So everybody, once he's gone, we can
proceed to fucking leave tonight.
Yay! Oh, my God, he's going to go back upstairs.
Bye, Doc.
See you, guys.
All right. Well, we lost Scott. Rob, what do you got?
I have, which is going to sound weird saying, the new album from Nana Cherry, which has taken 20 years to come out, but is well worth it. It's called The Blank Project, and an early contender for album of the year, really. So I'll recommend that. It's everything is good as a Massive Attack record, but everything is good as a good art. I'm trying to think of there's one soul singer came out, the record, Maria Copley Bird. That's it.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's that good. Yeah, it's
Ooh.
That good. Yeah, so I want to recommend that. And then I do want to recommend, I know it's kind of not the big season for it yet, but that's coming. I do want to recommend the brand new Doctor Who DVD of The Moon Base, which was it's the earliest Patrick Troughton story now to be released on DVD. Two of the episodes have been completely redone with animation, but actually good animation. It looks amazing. And two of the episodes have commentary tracks from Fraser Hines, Annika Wills, who are in Doctor Who, and a couple of the companions and extra characters. One of the episodes, though, is the commentary track is by Patrick Troughton's son. And that's also pretty rock solid as well. So I do want to recommend that because it's pretty mighty tasty. Have a good old school Doctor Who episode that sort of people haven't seen before or haven't had get reissued or remastered or anything like that. So do you want to recommend that? And ding, done.
Cool. Thank you, Rob.
Yep.
All right, John, what have you got? Since JJ already stole your shtick.
Yeah,
you
know, well, okay. So I'll go with
I
the...
recommend for John.
What's...
Prosecco.
It's fantastic.
Coleman Sundome 4-person tent, preferably in green, or it doesn't have to be in green. Be whatever color you want. But the Coleman Sundome tent is what I've I'm in the process of purchasing right now from needcoffee.com/Amazon. And when you do such a thing, a little bit of a kickback, doesn't cost you anymore, a little bit of kickback goes into the coffers to help keep this 3-hour train wreck going.
Why, amazing. That's how I bought my iPad cover that's coming in the mail in a couple of days.
That's great. What was it? URL again with JJ?
My what? The URL? Oh, yeah. It was what was it? tallwomenthatlikecoffee.com
/ / warrior
kickbacks. Yeah.
Well, between the two of them, they're right. If you go to needcoffee.com/Amazon, you will find that you've wound up at the front page of Amazon like nothing happened, but really behind the scenes magic has happened by elves and shit. Because basically anything you buy during that session, we get kickbacks for. Now, if you want to do some searching and you're not quite sure what you want, then you can go to needcoffee.com, and on the side of the page, you'll see an Amazon search bar. You can search for stuff there. And again, same thing, anything that you find or then buy after you found something, we get kickbacks for. So it's your friend.
I found a nickel.
She found a nickel and she purchased it for 10 cents. Now, so my recommendations, I will say coming out today that we recorded this, Thor the Dark World hits Blu-ray. And I really liked it. And Tom Hiddleston is a lot of fun. And if you have not seen his Jaguar Villains commercial, you should. Because it's fantastic.
Oh, my God. I want that for myself.
Rox is going to be
talking about Hiddleston, right? That's what she wants for herself?
Yeah, she wants Hiddleston for herself, Hiddleston. Not a Jaguar. Hiddleston. She wants a Jaguar driven by Hiddleston.
By the way, I also earlier, it was excrement. I can't even still say it.
Excrement, what?
Yes, never mind. The Iron Man 3 thing, never mind. I got the name
Extremis.
Wrong.
Extremis. Excrement, yes.
This is weird, like Terminus, right? Yeah.
Terminus, yes. Yeah. Although Terminus, I think, was a Fantastic Four villain.
Yes.
If memory serves.
I think that's correct.
During the John Byrne years, and I am a geek. Okay. Now, coming out this next week, during our off week, is something for Rox, actually. It's the first season of Breaking Amish.
Oh my God, I'm part Mennonite. I found that out this last week.
She's part Mennonite, which means that when Superman gets around her, he's half sick.
Well, but he has to drive around on a horse and buggy.
And he can't have a Velcro cape, no.
And magically he grows a beard.
Because you have to tug on Superman's cape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can't be a magic. He can't magically grow a beard, Rox. Magic affects Superman. It hurts him. And I am also a geek.
I can't hear you. That's okay. I'll listen to the podcast maybe.
This is like, you know what this is, Rox? This is like one of those all-star theater things that you just do on record. Where you will be playing the part of Rox in Weekend Justice. When you hear the tone, read the line. We should actually do a one-off. During one of these off weeks, we should actually just record a quick 5 minutes. You can be on Weekend Justice. Say something inane when you hear the tone.
Oh, speaking of which, movie phone's been...
One of those interview records.
Disconnected.
There's no movie phone anymore?
It has been disconnected.
Wow. Is that because of all the crank calls?
Man, I miss crank calls ever since that damn caller ID stuff. You laugh. I'm not kidding.
I do laugh. Because I can just see you standing out in the yard of Spaz House going, and get out of my yard, you and your caller ID.
Get out of my yard.
Your ZZ Tops so damn loud. Get the hell out. The other thing I was going to recommend is, as part of my trawling through the vast amount of 2013 music releases that I missed, there's a band called All Them Witches, which has had an album out they put in November called Lightning at the Door. Am I getting that correct? Yes. You can find it and sample it on Bandcamp. But I was drawn to them because you have to love an album that starts with a song called Funeral for a Great Drunken Bird. Yes. So, so it's kind of like a.
It's a Thanksgiving song.
Yeah, it's a Thanksgiving song. The second song is called "Give Me Some More of That Mm-mm Stuffin." But no, it's referred to. I've seen it referred to as like, you know, stoner metal or something. But I don't know. I just enjoy it, whatever it is. So, but with a name like that, how could I refuse giving them a listen? So yeah, if you go to allthemwitches.bandcamp.com, you can check them out and sample their stuff. And see if you too enjoy. So, that's what I've got. That's what I got.
I've got Prosecco.
Yes, there you go. And that, I think that brings us to the end. What's happening?
Hello and welcome to Movie Phone.
The 777 film numbers will no longer be in service in the near future, but we're still here to help. To buy tickets for all of your Showtime information,
I thought you said it was disconnected.
Download the free Movie Phone app on your smartphone or iPad, or visit iPad.
Yep, that's all it says. It just tells you to go to
go download an app, you fucking troglodyte.
Movie Phone will no longer be available on
Get
your
out of
phone.
My yard.
It's called Movie App. It's an app on your phone, which is now called Movie App Phone.
Too bad we didn't name it something random like Fandango.
Yeah, too bad we didn't have talking sick bags to tell you how to buy tickets. Fucking hate those commercials. I hate those commercials almost as much as Geico.
You mean Gecko? No, Geico.
Yeah, no. I just Geico commercials make me want to stab bunnies, okay?
Oddly, not lizards. Don't know why. Not lizards, though, right?
No, because they'd be expecting that.
Oh my god, you can enter bunnies into jumping contests.
Playboy bunnies, strangely
enough. This is like a podcast using the Barossian cut-up method, but with bits from rocks from other... People are going to think this is rocks on the soundboard. This isn't. She's here. I can see her. She's got her iPad and some Prosecco, and she's having a good time. I'm telling you. Don't let her fool you. She likes Techno Cave. I mean, she wouldn't want to stay down here, but then again, neither would I.
I don't know how you are down here.
What do you mean how I am down here? I carved out a space. This is storage. It's like, you know what it is, Rox? It's like the Hardy Boys headquarters. Because remember they had that like RV or something that was buried in all this junk?
Oh my god.
Yeah, and they would crawl like over the river and through the dale to get to their headquarters. Yeah, that's
you
what
know
it
what
is.
What we need to do.
Wait, Dale died second season.
We need to hire an illustrator. And just this scene right here. Let me take a picture right right quick.
She's taking a picture.
Hold on. I got to open it up first.
She's got to open it up first. I'm going to do my
ladies.
Rock pose. Right,
yeah.
I'm wandering around right, with a handheld mic.
I got to get the Prosecco in.
She's got to get the Prosecco in the foreground.
So, basically,
I'm not gonna going to be in focus, but the Prosecco is going to be.
I'm going to make like an illustrated cover of the Techno Cave. And it'll be like a paperback pulp fiction type.
I lost the internet again. What the hell's going on? Hello.
Did you lose internet again?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I may have figured it out.
Oh, were you standing on the internet cable? Were you?
I think I may have been kicking my router.
Oh, God. Okay.
And the cable may be just a little loose to the power of me. Maybe. I'm hoping that's what it is, because otherwise I got problems.
Yeah, well,
I got 99 problems.
And
my router's one of them.
Jesus Christ. All right. Well, before John kicks his router again, and thus this podcast kicks the bucket again, I think we should all take a moment. Those of us who are left standing at the end of this mess.
I'm sitting.
She's sitting with her butt in a giant marshmallow. I think we should take a moment to sort of reflect on what's happened, if any of us can remember it, and say simply, Prosecco.
Prosecco. By Duck Ball.
By Duck Balls? What?
Duck Ball.
Oh.
Duck balls, ooh!
Here and there and everywhere.
It's duck balls! God.
Yeah, I think when Disney was saying hands off on the fan base, they didn't exactly have that in mind.
Hands off our duck balls.
Yeah. Leave the duck balls alone. Hey,
you know.
JJ, leave those balls alone.
Oh my God, it's that new guy. Tell him to go back to Oregon.
I can't go back to where I am.
He can't go back to where I am, he says.
You're stuck with him?
You gotta get back to where you once belonged.
We're only doing this once, you know.
You what?
We're only doing this once, I think.
We're only one take tonight?
Yeah, only one take. This is it. This is the show.
Oh, and here I mapped all that time out for ADR. Oh, okay. Free evening.
Oh, my God. Oh, it hurts. All right. We should probably run away.
Oh, my God. I got to run upstairs.
She's got to run. She's got to extricate herself from the marshmallow.
Her chair. Damn.
I know.
He has to roll out of it onto this floor.
Is that the thing I passed out on?
I think it is, John.
Okay.
There's the sumo bits. Chair.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And I'm up. Oh, she managed to get up. Well played, Rox.
I believe I struggled against it, and I said forget, and just gave in and said, going to sleep.
I'm taking a nap.
Bye.
Bye, Rox.
Bye.
Oh. Yeah. There is a reason we don't actually all gather in the same place and do this from a script. I hope that took.
Something did out of that, yes.
It did, yes.
Yeah. How could it not?
Her concern was that it would be crowded.
Right, that's what I heard. So.
Good. Oh,
not crowdfunded, but crowded.
Yeah, no, definitely not crowdfunded.
Ooh, I wonder if we can crowdfund people to this podcast for us not to make it anymore. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Your Weekend Justice, number 211, How to Make a Margarita with a Shredder in a Clown Car, was a production of NeedCoffee.com. The show is engineered and produced by John Boutel. The league roster for this podcast was, in order of how likely they are to go upstairs for 2 years, John Boutel, J.J. Hawkins, Rox of Spaz House, Doc Ezra, Scott C., and Rob Levy. This episode was directed by Alan Smithy from a script by Dindrain, with additional material by Vernon Rudolph and Benny Dinkins. All audio glitches were provided by me, Widget Walls. Special guest intro by Dom. Special thanks to everyone who sponsors the site and makes shows like this possible. If you've already set up your easy recurring micropayment at needcoffee.com/support, then go forth and sin no more. Okay, maybe go sin a little. But if you haven't given, it's never too late. Go to needcoffee.com/support and throw some coins in the virtual tin. Thanks in advance for doing that. It really helps us out. Now, here's the coda.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah, I got nothing.